Let us begin. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Down in Front.
Sorta.
Today we've got a very special broadcast. We're judging the lightsaber choreography competition.
Eight.
Congratulations to all the guys that entered and the ones that made it and qualified and all that stuff. And to the ones that didn't, I don't think anyone did. Everyone that wanted to got in. Congratulations, everybody.
Yeah, we're getting some complaints.
You guys have your own volume controls, guys. Yeah. What it?
My ears, they bleed. Well, you know.
We can't turn
my heart.
We can't.
For
yeah,
you,
we
sir.
Can't come to your computer and turn them down. You do that.
Are we too loud? Because that's way.
Are we? Are we peaking or are we?
They're saying we're peaking, yeah, but we're at minus 12. Oh, okay, all right.
We brought it down. Okay,
we're turned way down here.
We'll pull that down a little bit. Whatever's on the. I don't know how that works.
This is the best it's gonna
they
get.
They can turn their volumes down. That's good.
Better. Cool. Okay. Good. People are liking it.
So here's how this is gonna work, everybody. We're gonna go through all 14. On Vimeo. You guys can follow along on Vimeo. We're going to play them here, but if you want to watch them with sound, you'll have to watch them over there.
Although that won't make much sense when we're commentating
right. We're
on
commentating
them,
but... on them, which is why the video here does not have sound. So you don't actually need to hear them for what we're going to do. We're going to go through each one of them. We're going to dissect and talk about the fight as it goes on, mostly focusing on choreography, but we'll acknowledge everything else too. And then after we've gone through an entry, we're going to have a little brief conversation about it and really kind of get into it and see if it works, why it works, and if it doesn't, why it doesn't. And we're going to try to focus on being as constructive as possible. That's sort of the point here. Once we've gotten through all 14, we're going to sort of talk about the competition as a whole and then announce the winners. Simple enough?
I think so.
Cool.
Sounds good.
So,
I see they're all waiting with bated breath. No one's even or bated chat room.
I wonder what the delay is.
Bated fingers.
Yeah, they hear it.
They hear it about 5 seconds after we say it.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, go ahead and load up the first entry, number one on Vimeo. It's Dennis Engelhard, and we'll give you a second to get queued up. Go ahead and start at the beginning of the video, but you might want to press play so it sort of starts buffering.
Buffer it.
Yeah.
But we're going to start at the beginning of the file on the page. So get that set up.
Are we set up with the way where it does the thing where we're also broadcasting the entry? Like it does the two-panel thing you showed us?
What they're going to see, look at, you guys can see this at home, and I'll show these guys here. We're going to be watching this monitor over here, and they're going to be seeing the actual fight as we're talking.
I see.
Man, right? This is a fancy.
Dun, dun, dun,
yeah,
dun.
This is a pretty badass
I don't know what that was.
Not
that
bad,
was some
right?
Kind of,
I really liked
it. That was a fanfare.
It's exciting.
Sweet.
So they don't actually have to buffer it up to watch it. They can watch it through our stream if they're so inclined.
That's right. If you watch it through the stream, the video and the audio should come through at the exact same rate, and you'll actually see the commentary in perfect sync without having to watch it on video.
Yeah, but if you haven't seen the entries before, they'll look really choppy, and you won't really be able to tell what's going on with some of them.
Right on.
Yeah. Technology is good at things.
So that being said, everyone ready?
Yep.
Yeah.
Got your mouse on the play button over on Vimeo, or you're just watching the feed over here? Here we go. 3, 2, 1, unpause. And
exciting.
We're in.
All righty.
Okay.
Nice logo.
I don't like the title. I'd like to say that. No, I'm just kidding.
Ricky did a great job with the logo here.
Oh. Dennis Engelhard. Okay. Okay.
I'm with you so far.
Yeah. I like the color. The color is really nice.
It is interesting, the grading thing. Like the old film, like it's flashed.
Right,
a little bit.
It feels a little global. I think later it's like parts where it's just sort of like, you know, just the grass.
Right.
Around.
Where is this?
What
is this ruin? It's a nice location.
Germany, right?
This is going to be sort of a global note I have for all the entries. If you just kind of square up and stand and swing, it doesn't really afford you a lot of creative opportunities. Like it's better to be in your stance and moving and kind of providing some back and forth as opposed to just two guys standing in front of each other and swinging.
A very sort of basic thing that we learned in doing fights is like a very simple way to begin thinking about this if you're starting and you're just trying to be aware of your footwork, which you need to be, is be thinking about it as you're choreographing and kind of like work it out so that you have a step in some direction with every move. You should be going like back or front or, you know, advancing or retreating or moving around in some way. When you're just standing and fighting, just, you know, facing each other.
Right.
It's, you know.
And again, that's more of a global note than necessarily just this one. But
right.
But we are seeing this here. So
yeah,
an
important thing to think about is that footwork, even though it's not as visible and a lot of times you're not even framing your feet, but footwork is as important a part of the choreography as what your hands are doing at any given time.
It comes down to body mechanics because you need your center of gravity to and you know how your weight distribution will inform the kind of strikes you take. It may not seem like they're connected, but they absolutely are. The other thing I was going to say, another global kind of note is intention. There's a lot of, you know, stick bashing and at times, and you want to see. I want to see the saber come directly for a target, and it has to be blocked, or else it's going to connect. We need to see that intention of targeting there.
This, by the way, at the end, that whole once they're stabbed and they drop the saber into the other hand and then spin around and then cut through. I feel like I've seen that somewhere before. Maybe someone in the chat room remembers like a previous contest or something.
Yeah, we should actually say something not global about this particular one.
So we've reached the end of the first entry. How are you guys feeling about the choreography in particular, but about the whole entry itself?
For me, it's like we were talking about. I feel like in large part because, I mean, they did move around a little bit, but for the most part it was very... very locked off right in front of each other, and it just felt very you know, what I've said in previous years is left, right, up, down. It's like it's just kind of the same four moves over and over again.
Very basic, like stage combat.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Which is as we'll talk about with a few other ones, it's fine if you can perform it with good energy and it looks good for stage combat.
Right.
But as a choreography element, I don't think it's a lot of choreography. It's the basics, and
right.
And if you're entering a choreography contest, I think you need to go beyond the basics.
Any agree?
But yeah, absolutely. I'm like I said, if I think I mentioned this last night when we were watching some of these. The in a real fight, if you ever watch a real fight, if two guys stand very close to each other and just swing, the fight's over very quickly. And I think you just need movement. You need a little bit of distance. Range is incredibly important with choreography. You really want to know that. And understanding that a lightsaber it's a touch weapon and it's a kill weapon. If it touches you, you're going to die. So targeting, intentional, things like that is important. I would have liked to have seen a bit more progression and a bit more movement from this one.
Next time, by the way, after we finish an entry, go ahead and start the next one up so you've got the buffer going.
We're going in the order.
We're going straight down Vimeo. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, then the next page, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all that stuff. Brian, Trey, any thoughts on that one?
Oh, obviously, I know we don't know choreography as well as you guys are like, yeah. But
you're the film guys.
Yeah.
But well, from a film perspective,
yeah,
it's hard to notice.
In that regard, I like the fact that it was short and sweet. I mean, genuinely, sincerely.
They didn't overstay their welcome too much.
Exactly. Right? And, you know, it's... anything that you make should only be long enough to tell whatever point you're trying to tell, and if it feels too long, it probably is.
Right.
And, you know, as Shakespeare said, brevity is the soul of wit. And as somebody said it better, brevity is wit. So the shorter you can be,
take that,
better.
Shakespeare.
That's clever. I like that. Trey, any thoughts?
I give. I know it doesn't count in the real voting, but I like this one because I thought it was nicely made. I thought there was a better than average filmmaking skill.
Yes.
On display here, and bonus points for finding a cool location. Just made it had a very interesting background to it. I thought that was nice. But even I, as a layman as far as fighting, I can see what you guys are talking about. I do recognize that. And maybe we can talk. I'm very curious. As fight choreographers, which I'm the one in the room who isn't one, you know, how do you make a fight be choreographed and yet seem spontaneous? I think that's hard. That's got to be difficult.
It is.
So
it
maybe
is.
In the next entry you can answer that question for me because I'm curious about it.
I do also want to make a global kind of point because I think we're going to end up talking about it in other ones. I personally count camera work as part of the choreography.
Yes.
So I think that's a very important element, and so
why is that? Because choreography can look different from different angles.
Yes,
or?
Yes. Choreography can
drastically.
You can make a shot. You can make a move work from certain angles and make it totally not work from other angles.
And it's the same choreography itself.
Yeah,
but it's all how it's displayed.
Yeah. So in my mind, the camera person. The camera is always another...
As much of a performer as the actual
Yes,
fighter.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Some moves look very dynamic, but if you place the camera in a wrong angle, it can kind of suck the dynamic out of that movement. And you want to pick your angles that really... Just like some angles don't hide selling a shot very well. If you're doing unarmed combat, you know, where you place the camera really will show whether or not that move can be sold or not. And this is saber, so you get a little more wiggle room because the sabers actually do make contact in every strike. But even so, some angles will really show the power of a shot better than others.
Cool.
We should get the next one going.
Ready to go?
Let's get it going.
Hopefully you guys have the second episode, or I'm sorry, entry. I keep doing that. Queued up. And again, once you finish an entry, go ahead and queue up the next one just so we don't have to keep mentioning it. But we're going to go ahead and transfer over to Gregory Smith, which is entry number 2. Got your mouse on the little play button. Here we go. 3, 2, 1, unpause. Now this one, I recall, has a long intro. How do we feel about that in terms of the intro.
When I see it, I'll remember, and then I'll
play it. Don't quite remember the intro. Yeah,
right.
It's the farmyard one, isn't it?
I one of the
yes,
the
yes,
one,
yes,
yeah,
right.
the thief and the
right.
Which again, from a non coming at it from a non choreography aspect, I like the fact of you're doing something to set up why this is happening and what the situation is.
Yes,
but again, like before, don't do anything more than what is necessary to make the point. As soon as the point is made, move on.
Right.
I think the problem with this one is that nothing is really gained, or nothing is really sort of like, well, why did we have this? It didn't really tell us a whole lot.
And even through the sequence, we still don't really know what the point was, what he was searching for, or whatnot.
That being said,
you had mentioned that in the email that they sent you, Teague, that this is the first thing that they ever done, right, Teague?
Yeah, I got emails from many of the entrants, and these guys apparently have either don't make films often or have literally never made a film before. And I think it's the latter. So, and that being said, it's stunningly well done for people that don't do this a lot, if not ever. And also the lightsabers look pretty great too.
If this is a first film, this is damn impressive. I want to get that out of the way now. I want to get that out of the way. With that said, I felt like there's a little bit too much parallel action with the cross-cutting. It was about two or three beats a bit too long. I felt like they could have gotten to the point much quicker. By and large, I mean, fight choreography, a fight can tell a story, and character and story has to be illustrated through the fight. So with that said, I like knowing the quote stakes of this. I think that does reflect on the choreography a bit. And you know, there's, and they have a little bit of success with that here. It's just a little long in the tooth.
Yeah.
There are, I think that's a common mistake with, I know it's certainly a mistake I've made plenty of times, and you know, as a beginning filmmaker, is you don't know how to say something as succinctly as possible, and that's a skill you gain over time.
Right. I think they also enter into the opposite issue here occasionally, which is that suddenly they're cutting too fast to really understand how one thing flows into another.
Right.
Like the whole bit where he pulls the saber, the second half out, and puts it together and lights the other end.
Right.
I only really understand what happened because I've seen that so many times before that I get what he's going for.
Right.
If I wasn't familiar with that as like a trope of lightsaber fighting, I think it would be very unclear to me what was going
also,
on.
Also, I don't particularly like that posture with both sabers kind of up like that. That doesn't really open you up to a lot of, you know, it may look interesting, but it doesn't really open you up to like a good attack.
Although what I do like about the while they've got the two sabers, which a lot of people don't do, is he's using both sabers a lot at the same time.
Yeah, they're doing a pretty good job at keeping him busy with both hands there.
It's kind of something to keep in mind if you're going to be doing the light staff, the joint double saber, is that it really does change your range, and it really does change the method with which you're going to attack. So it's awesome to look at, but you really need to think very hard in terms of choreography what you're going to be doing with that staff. We'll see a later entry. It comes about it a bit different way. But yeah, I like that they didn't spend too long on the double saber. I'm glad they're back to just, you know, stick on stick here.
Unclear to me exactly why that guy ran away.
Yeah, or what he was doing there in the first
place. Or why he opened the door.
Yeah.
I would say, as another global comment, there's a lot of interesting location choices this
year. Oh, yeah.
Not forest stuff.
I was thinking that it's like people have gotten away from the forest. It's largely industrial now. That's the thing.
Yeah, I kind of like that we're in like some European ruins in our last one.
Yeah,
now we're in the
Norman
belt.
Rockwell lightsaber fight, which is fantastic.
I like this bit because this guy, I was confused the first time I saw it, because this guy has transition lenses. So like right there, they're sunglasses now.
Right.
But they hadn't had any close-ups up until that point since they came out. Side, and you only see the close-up after he jumps over the tractor, so I was like, did he just level up or something? Is that what he's like gone Super Saiyan level 2 or something? What's going on here?
He's achieved Neo.
Yeah, exactly.
I liked that was a little bit I liked. He hit the sparks and used the sparks as a method to blind. That was I'd like to see more people think like that. I think this year we see a lot of entries where people come up with a little more creative uses of the saber, and I'd like to see things move more in that direction.
Actually, another thing, you know, we were saying we got a lot of interesting locations this year. Another thing that I've noticed is we got a lot of people doing a lot of damage with the sabers. There's a lot of hitting walls and throwing sparks and cutting through things, which is great because I think that's what, you know, in the context especially of a film, it reminds you that these things are so dangerous because you can't be hitting each other, you know, every 5 seconds, you know.
And the chicken.
My assumption with this is that it's kind of just hanging a lantern, because in other shots you just see the chickens coming in and out like, hey, what's up, guys? So like I feel like they put the chicken there just to be like, yeah, there's chickens in there. Just deal with ignore it.
As a note to these guys specifically, because this is your first film, what we're saying a little bit earlier about the choice of your angles for the moves. There was a beat a little bit earlier where the guy throws a sidekick. And see, right here, some of the angles we kind of lose a little bit of where the moves are going. I like the quickening of the pace of the cutting because we're getting towards the end of the fight. But some of the angle choices don't really illustrate what exactly is happening. And it's a little hard to follow at times.
Although I got to say again, if it's really true that these folks don't make films very often, this is spectacular.
It's a hell of a
job for an early film, because most people tend to shoot from the side and just kind of quickly.
Oh, yeah.
There's some angle choices actually awfully good for people who are just getting into.
No, there's some very clever angle choices. They just what they have to work on now is continuity between the angle choices.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and a progression. A progression of shot choices and edit selection.
Cool.
Ooh.
Let's come back to us.
No, I give a lot of props to these guys, especially for their and aww.
Let's say something.
But no props
here
for sucking up to one of the judges.
Right?
Yeah, really. What's
that?
Well, yeah. What's funny
the problem
about
that is
the lens flare thing. Thank you, Ryan Weber, for use of his lens flare.
Yeah. The thing about that is that number one, actually, that Mike made that lens flare. I merely hosted it.
And also, it's cool, guys. You just use it. You don't have to give us a giant card.
I'm using it
in
a
all
feature
of
I'm finishing right now. I need to put a special thanks to you in the credits.
We're going
to
need that before the director credit.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and go around in the normal direction for the rest of the show. Brian and Trey, you guys? From the film fighty angle stuff? How's that working for you?
Very good. Especially for an early effort. Much better than what I was doing at that same period of my development. And I'm sure you guys had kind of a similar experience when we first made a fight scene for the first time. I remember we made it and we were amazed at how fast the footage got used up.
Uh-huh.
We filmed this, what we thought was a long and elaborate fight
You're there
scene
all day and you get 5 seconds.
Yeah, and it's like, 10 seconds. We're like, wow, this was supposed to be 30 seconds. Oh, fuck us. Because fight scenes are very, very difficult to film and edit and make sense.
They take time.
Make sense in the end.
Trey?
So. Yeah, that was a very elaborate scene. That was, went on quite a while and, had a lot of nice changes of the beats and so on. And I'm always a big fan because that's how I've always worked is working with what you have. So the fact that they had this picturesque barnyard, they used the barnyard. They used the truck trailer. They used the tractor. They used the chickens. I thought that was...
I feel like that's a worthwhile point to make about future fights. Is it Robert Rodriguez that has the thing about the bus?
Yeah, the bus. Yeah, he didn't go out and get a bus. He had a bus and he wrote a scene about a bus and people go, oh, that's nice how he did that. So
how could you possibly get a bus?
If the point of this contest is choreography, then we're going to give people a pass on costumes and locations, find another location. And as we said, many people did really creative location ideas in this one, which I think is great.
Ryan Weber?
It's really cool kind of knowing the backstories on some of these, and there are a couple more that have good anecdotes that we sort of bring up and discuss in relation to the film. Unfortunately, I don't sort of... I try not to factor that in. I try to just evaluate all these as I watch them the first time, knowing nothing about them, and just, this is your first year, that's great. This is your sixth year, that's fine. It's all sort of on the same. I'm judging you by the same, sort of criteria.
Right.
I think the thing about this one is it's cool. They put together a good little scene that works for the most part. Like we were saying, the continuity and the angles, I think, are something that should be focused on next time. And also, I think maybe probably you can articulate better, Eddie, that I think the stances that they have are, it's all very kind of, there's a certain, unenthusiastic, they're just kind of standing and fighting, and obviously that's a thing that you learn over time and get better with, so I look forward to seeing how they sort of evolve in that direction. And I think it has something else, but those are the main beats.
Eddie, you want to take it from there real quick?
Well, no, we'll go.
Dorkman?
Yeah. I'll go in order.
Yeah, I mean, again, as we keep saying, for a first effort, it's quite phenomenal, really. I mean, there's things shooting wise that you want to work on, like the 180 degree rule, which we should really talk about because a number of entries have an issue with that. And like headroom, you don't need that much space above your actors a lot of times and stuff like that. But in terms of purely choreography, like you say, the there are no stances to speak of, which again I think goes back to people don't think about the lower half of their body when they're choreographing stuff, and that's something, again, as a general note, that you really want to do. And then in terms of what they were doing with the lightsabers, aside from using the double-handed sabers, rather better than I've seen a lot of people use them. For the most part, it was again very rudimentary kind of saber work.
That's true. That was the other thing I forgot is like I kind of look at it like a lot of this worked. I wasn't like bothered by like, oh, these are the same four moves over and over. They're one level better than that. But at the same time, there weren't any particular moments in here where I was like, oh, that was cool, or oh, that was kind of tricky. Yeah. You know, there weren't a lot of like little clever things that jumped out.
Stopped
at me.
First, I agree with everything everybody said. Going off kind of what Ryan proposed, if you walk into any boxing, kickboxing, MMA gym, the very first thing they're going to tell you is the last thing you want to attack with is what's called arm punching or leg kicking, meaning that you don't just punch with the arm, you punch with the body. You deepen into your stance, you get the right posture from the feet up, all the way up. And when you punch, every part of your body goes into that attack, whether it's a punch, kick, whatever. The same holds true for sabers, and especially holds true in choreography. Because you're not actually going to see direct impact on anything, we need to see those body mechanics all the way through. We need to see follow through. We need to see, with this particular entry, they were very high in their stance. Their center of gravity was oftentimes off balance as they just simply move their arm. So I would say, and I know a lot of people approach this from a filmmaking perspective first and a choreography perspective second, and that's fine. But this is a lightsaber choreography contest, and therefore that's what I'm going to be looking at. With these guys, I absolutely applaud that it's their first film. But if you're going to do a fight scene, you have to understand basic body mechanics and how to really follow through and things like that. And a little bit of research in that area for your next entry would be great, because I would like to see something more from these guys.
Cool. Everyone go ahead and make sure you're queued up to entry number 3, Jeff Hibbert. And while you're doing that, Darkman, real quick, explain the 180 rule and what that means and how you can misuse it.
Well, the 180, it's hard to do. Like, I'd really
It's very hard to do.
I really want to do like a graphic or something to really get this clear.
Wait,
but
here's the way I because it is very confusing, and I remember when they taught us it in film school, it was very confusing. The way I like to think of it is, imagine if whatever you're watching on screen, imagine you were watching it in a theater.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you can be in the right bleachers, or you can be in the left bleachers, or you can be in the front bleachers, and it'd be pretty much the same. But if you were to suddenly jump backstage and be watching from the other side, then it becomes weird.
And the point of the name is that there's basically, you only have 180 degrees to move the camera around. Just stay on the same side of them. But once you go past 180 degrees, you're looking back on the other side, and it's complicated.
Now, okay. Yes. The thing is, it's like, if you have someone who's looking off to the right side of screen, and then you cut, and then he's looking off to the left, suddenly you don't know where you are. You're
right.
Disoriented.
Because in your mind's eye, if you're the camera, you have physically jumped from one side of the action to the other.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
So but the exception to the rule is that you don't want to cut over the 180 degree line, but you can move the camera over the line.
Right. If
you
change the blocking, it works.
If you change the line during the shot, Then you can start cutting from over there, but you don't want to jump back across again over the next line.
You can justify it a number of ways. The people can physically change direction, and they can change sides. And if you see them do it, then you understand why it happened. Or you can go to just a neutral camera angle that allows you to sort of set up a new setup for your next series of shots. And there's lots of ways to get around it.
And the other thing too, it almost seems like cheating, but it works, is that you can also gradually get your way around the 180 degree line with editing. You can use a shot as a hinge to get there, and
right,
and
you can
and
pivot,
get your way there. As
it's
long
called
as you
the
don't...
clock on the wall shot. If you go to the clock, and then you can come back to whatever.
Yeah, if you cut away to something outside of that particular setup, and you go to a different setup, you can come back to whatever. That's fine.
Yeah, there's cool. Firefly fans, Josh Whedon actually goes into it in the pilot. He actually describes a scene in which he crosses the 180 line in the famous shot where they sweep under as Zoe and Mal are firing their guns, is deliberately to change the rest of the fight to be the other side of the 180 line. Because they were losing the sun. And they did that so that the sun would be on the on-camera side. They did that on the fly while they were shooting the scene. Anyway, moving on.
Cool. So you guys probably have entry number 3, Jeff Hibbert, queued up. So we're going to go ahead and get ready for that. If you're watching on Vimeo, here we go. 3, 2, 1, unpause.
Wow, somebody made a Justin TV channel for us right now. I just realized.
We are the Justin TV channel, sir.
Oh, okay. Oh, then never mind.
Yeah.
Someone. We did it.
Same logo every time. I'm getting kind of bored with that logo.
Yeah.
Why does everyone use that?
I like cool.
This is the one I watched, and I said, is that me?
No, that's what we all said.
Apparently, I'm in that. Yeah, I'm in this, so already I like
it. Good
work.
Yeah.
Real quick note there, where they're sabering, and then they go into a double wrist grab. That's a pretty clunky transition into that. If you're going to go from a saber into a grappling sequence, it has to have an actual progression with closing of the distance. They actually are at full melee range, and then they engage into that. That's one note I'm going to give off the bat.
I really like the energy on this one,
yeah.
And I like what they're doing with the camera in a lot of ways. But it's to Eddie. Have you mentioned it? I mean, we've talked about it before. But targeting.
I talked about it a little bit. If you're gonna swing a stick at somebody, you have to aim for their head or other part of them that's gonna die. You actually have to have intention of hitting your target. You can't just aim and then have a saber block it. And if that saber wasn't there, your saber has to try to hit something.
Yeah, if it was going to go 3 feet over your head anyway, then why did you block it?
Yeah,
you
then just let it go and then step back and come in with a stab, and guess what? You win.
I like this.
This is a very nice moment where...
Just destruction.
Boom! I like that a lot.
And actual
and the bowl's
physical
in
destruction.
Half. Yeah, the bowl's in half.
But I will say I don't understand why a lot of people do little interludes where they run into people and it's like, oh, it's weird now. Like,
yeah.
I don't. It's not just this one, but it happens a lot, and I don't understand why people do that.
I don't know. I think it works. I think they're playing with this concept of a lightsaber fight in an inappropriate context.
Right. I don't mean to interrupt, but that was another example where the blades were at tension, and you can kind of see my fingers doing that. The blades were tension, but there's a track where all the other guy had to do was slide his blade down. He would have ended it.
Yeah.
So if you're going to do blade tension, it has to be sort of at essentially a perpendicular way, so that there's no way that your blade can pass through.
There's a lot of humor and a lot of personality in this entry, which I appreciate. It makes it
and like
fun
you guys said, there's a lot of energy. I do believe, obviously I'm not as, again, not as, I also love this moment. It was a great moment.
A lot of clever use of the environment and the situation that they're in.
Absolutely.
A lot of nice segues between one section of the environment and the other. But I really believed in this one and a couple of the other ones, but this one particularly, that they were really going for it. That
absolutely.
They were actually trying to, and it's... we've talked about it on commentaries before. You know, reality, it's a Sanford Meisner definition. The reality of – the definition of acting is the reality of doing. If you have a strong action verb in whatever you're doing, that's your spine or whatever. And a lot of times it looks like in some of these fights, these guys are just banging sticks. And you can't tell what they're doing is other than banging sticks.
Right.
But here it's very clear that one guy is trying to get away and the other guy is trying to kill that guy. And a couple others too. But – I think something as simple as that helps to clarify so many of the other downstream decisions that you make in choreography and shot composition and everything else.
There's a very sort of almost improvisational feel to a lot of the bits of choreography here, in that just sort of like I feel like I'm watching someone record these guys fighting, and they haven't – like they're kind of, you know, working it out as they go. Obviously, it's a little more sophisticated than it would be in real life, but – you know, it's got a very sort of live feel to it. And one thing that they do well that some, you know, beginners could probably learn from is they're pretty good at selling the reactions to things. Like, you know, if he gets hit in the face, it's not the thing that people usually do. They go, blah, blah, and then they're continuing to fight. And then, well, why did you do that? Like, what was the point of doing that? But, you know, they get hit and they kind of reel back and stumble. And you know, they really work on selling those.
And that's what I'm saying. This, as far as like a fight, first and foremost needs to tell a story, and this fight tells a story. They don't do a lot of talking in this, but the fight tells the story, and I give it a lot of credit for that.
It's always very smart to make your audience laugh in the last moment, to leave them laughing.
Yeah,
and that was a good comedic.
You got
moment.
Out of that shot right at the right time.
Yeah,
exactly.
Funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Although I will say that I would have found it funnier if the guy wasn't talking. His
agreed.
Reactions,
yeah.
His silent reaction, because everything else was silent.
Yeah.
And his silent reactions and performance would have sold that. And once he starts talking, it sounds like a put-on.
That's another very good rule of thumb for acting in general, is behavior is worth so much more than words.
Yeah.
If you can express a sentiment through just behavior, you are so much better off than having to verbalize it.
I got a couple interesting anecdotes from this guy that I want to bring up, because they relate to making lightsaber fights. I'll just read. I've chunked out parts of these emails, so I'm not going to read you the whole email, just the stuff that I think is worth bringing up. And this is funny, the end underwear gag. He apparently spent some time trying to find the underwear that would read as most girly on screen. Back into the lightsaber shit. The force push was done with fishing line. In my footage, you can actually see the fishing line catch the light for just a few frames. When I watched the behind the scenes of RVD2, I was wondering why they used black fishing line. Now I understand. If it's black, you can easily see it and get rid of it. How do you guys feel about that?
That's actually exactly the opposite of why we use black fishing line, to be honest. The reason is that when you yank on it and it blurs, the black will disappear and you have to spend less time painting it out. There are fewer frames where you can see it, and that's the point of it.
When things blur against each other, black dark things become more submissive in terms of, like, that's why lightsabers are generally a bright color. In our case, we use a fluorescent red just because it shows up on digital cameras so well. But if you had a black lightsaber that you just covered in black electrical tape and swung that thing around, you would immediately stop seeing it. It would go away.
It's interesting to me that that wire removal, trying to make wire, trying to not have to do wire removal, is like a lost art that people are having to rediscover, because back in my day we couldn't remove wires. So there's many things that you can do to hide them. If you're using fishing line, fun fact, especially if it's heavy fishing line, first of all, use the lightest you can get because it'll be thin. But also, give it a quick hit with just rub some sandpaper down it, because that kills the shiny
sheen.
Coating.
Yeah,
And it won't kick light so hard.
Trey Stokes.
That's very useful.
I've done old school.
I've done entire movies, where if the wire showed up, it's in the movie. There was no removing it. So and feel free, anything goes. Feel free to bring a set of colored Sharpies and paint half of it blue and half of it red to match the background or whatever you need to do.
And Godfather, that's how they did when Sonny gets shot to death. The face squibs
Spoiler.
That he has, that's how they use clear fishing line to pull those things off that release all the blood capsules.
How did you guys feel about the fight? Did we go into that after the fight was over?
This was one of my favorites. I enjoyed this one a lot.
Cool. Trey?
I like this. I'll hand it over to the choreography part of the team. But as a film, I thought this was a great little, funny, low budget, entertaining. I was not, I never got bored watching this one. I thought it was entertaining. I'll give it that. Absolutely.
Ryan Weber.
I agree. It absolutely was entertaining. This easily is in my top five of this year's entries. And I really appreciate a lot of personality. And the humor of it makes it fun to watch, and that's important. And the other thing too is, this is a lightsaber choreography competition, but for me, even the stuff that wasn't necessarily explicitly lightsabers, that counts. The sort of the way that they move through the place and the jokes that they do with the environment and things like that all matters, and that counts toward your total, so to speak.
Dorkman?
Yeah, use of the environment is a big deal. I also found this one really entertaining and. It was definitely a contender for me as well, but ultimately, in terms of they move around a lot. They not just through the environment, but around each other, mm-hmm. which helps a lot with the choreography.
It doesn't get stagnant.
Yeah. But a lot of I had a lot of issues with the targeting. A lot of times with this one. So
Eddie,
building off that, there were some targeting issues. There was not only that, but and a big part of the targeting issues I find in a lot of fights is understanding range and distance. You have to be if you're too far out from the guy and you swing, you're not going to hit him. So it's gonna make it look like a stick bash, whether you mean to or not. Even if you're aiming for his face, if you're not in the right range to follow through with a kill shot, then it's why throw that fight. Why throw that shot? So for me, it's the thing that I had. This was a really great location, and I love the progression of room to room. But I feel like sometimes, and maybe in the kitchen a couple other times, they didn't have the right distance to properly engage and really sell some of those shots as much as they would have liked it. With that said, I really, really enjoyed watching this as a short film, and I want to see more from these guys specifically, because this was very charming for me.
Great. So. All right, Vimeo people, I hope you have number four queued up, because we're about to start without you. Everyone else, just enjoy the stream.
There we go.
Here we go, Vimeo. 3, 2, 1, unpause.
Stephen Hayes.
Now, this is the one where I got an email from these guys, and apparently they're both involved in karate or karate instructors.
Okay.
And apparently one also has some sort of an injury recently.
Okay.
Obviously, we can't really let that affect the way the judging goes.
Factor that into performance a little bit, maybe. But
my thing is, from a fighting world perspective, if you show up to a fight, you're going to fight, and it doesn't really matter what's wrong with you.
Right.
So if you show up for it, then you're
going to
be judged.
I'm going
just
to kill
well.
You. Well, my leg hurts. Oh, well, then maybe tomorrow. Tell me. Give me a call. We'll reschedule.
Can't fight the Rebs this season, Ma. Jeb's got a bum knee. It doesn't work that way.
Brian, you getting tired of this intro yet?
Yeah, I mean, this goes back to that earlier point where
tore his knee ligaments. Butters, do you know which ligament? Because I've torn my LCL, and you can actually still perform with that. If you tear an ACL or a meniscus, then maybe you get some swelling. So, do you know which ligament he tore?
Yeah, this one actually we're not hearing the music right now, but I think the music actually really does a disservice.
The
to
Matrix
this one.
Music.
Yeah, because the intensity of the performance does not match the intensity of the music.
ACL
and putting them together like. like that just accentuates the fact that the intense. It just calls more attention to how
it underlines aspect of it.
Not really as intense the fighting itself is.
Well, with that said, like especially in this, I'm gonna critique this unarmed sequence a little bit. If you have a bad ACL, don't throw kicks because these kicks, I'm not buying them. I'm not buying. And yeah, that was okay. Nice little rainbow kick there, but it's I'm not really buying it. And these knees are really, that's a rough sell, man.
Yeah,
like, those knees are really, really rough sell.
You're to an extent on a number of them, you're picking the right angles, but you're not performing them to sell within the angle, I think.
Right. And that's the thing. And the other thing is that if you're going to throw a knee, you know, bring the guy's head down and throw the knee so you obscure the point of impact right here again on this knee sequence. I'm sorry, this is not very good looking at all.
Because we can see right down the path of
right.
How it's not
exactly
extremely unflattering angle.
And if you're going to do that angle, then you throw your kicks. Then you throw your wheel kicks. Then you throw your spin kicks. Throw it at that angle because that will look very good at that angle.
I do like a lot of the reverse gags that they're using here. You know,
that was nice in this one coming up that I also thought was well done. The staircase gag.
Yeah, they do some nice bits. You don't see, you know, that's old school Star Wars. You don't see much of that.
Of course, I respect that, and it's hard to sell a reverse gag properly. But I thought they did them really well in this one.
Not only that, but on like right there when he threw that kick that knocked him down, he was in punching range. Don't throw a kick if you are in punching range.
Yeah.
If you're a kick in range, throw a kick. If you're in a punch range, throw a punch. If you're a knee, throw a knee. Like you have to understand range and distance.
There we go.
With what you're doing.
But it seems in a number like a number of these parts, like right here, they seem more concerned about not killing themselves on the stairs than with the choreography of the sabers, which is fine. Don't kill yourself on the stairs.
Right.
But, you know.
We all had a problem with this next thing here.
Yeah, this bugs me.
Okay, they're lightsabers.
Yeah,
they can go through that.
They can go through that.
Yeah. One of the things about lightsaber choreography is you want to take into account the properties of the lightsaber.
Yeah, some of the best choreography is the stuff that uses sabers in a way that you couldn't use a sword. You know?
Exactly.
Right.
And takes advantage of that, incorporates that into the choreography and into the blocking specifically. The other thing I was going to notice, there are a couple of times during this where it looks like both guys are about to laugh and crack up, and that does affect your choreography. It affects the intensity. It takes me out of the fight. So,
I don't want to seem overly harsh, but the guy with blonde hair occasionally reminds me of Jimmy Fallon in that way.
That's more about
Jimmy Fallon than you do.
Right.
That's not your fault. Jimmy Fallon invented that.
There are a number of times in other fights where people look like they're about to laugh, and it's fun and silly, and you can tell that they're having fun, but you want to use the take where you're not doing that because otherwise it undermines the intensity and intent of what you're doing.
And if you're doing this to have fun and have a lark, great, that's awesome, but understand that you're entering into a contest in which you are going to be judged and critiqued. So, you know, this stuff here. The problem is that when you're in a hallway like this, especially with lockers, and that's a really bad match. They're obviously the geography changed drastically right there. But if you're in a hallway, understand that it's going to limit the moves that you can do. So I would choose in a long hallway like that. I would choose more vertical movements as opposed to lateral movements because that's just you're going to end up, and unless you want to incorporate that with cutting up the lockers, that's fine. But pick the moves that make the most sense for your angle and your geography.
I'm very disappointed at the lack. I like the slow motion performance. I do, but I'm not being sarcastic. But I was disappointed that you know you had the flashing strobe light look, and I thought you were going to do something with that stylistically or whatever. But then you just left that environment.
A little drop spin kick thing you did there.
Actually, the sweep was nice. And right here, I think we're coming up onto a segment where. I don't know what's happening here.
Okay.
We go. Now the staff. Now you can see this guy definitely has done some tournament stuff with staff. This reminds me of being in like Ed Parker's Kempo International Tournament in the early 90s, where you see kids do a lot of stuff like this. The toothpick staff is what they called it. So this is all nice. I would have, and this guy obviously has some strength in this department. I would have gotten to this part sooner because he actually understands how to manipulate a staff versus a lot of other entrants. I would have gotten to this a little bit sooner, and that roll up was a little forced.
Played more to your strength.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It always felt to me like that, oh, this is what they were trying to get to. This is what they wanted to do with their entry, and then that there was a lot of stuff before it.
There's a lot of padding. Remember, you don't need to pad. Padding is
right,
bad.
Exactly.
Just do what you want to do and do the very essence of that. The idea is to distill something down into it, the least amount of what you can do exactly to communicate your point.
And not necessarily in editing, because I can see how you could never do that with this entry, because they're just going right everywhere and moving all over the place. But in your choreography, you know, keep it your best stuff. You know?
In the writing phase, I mean, when you write a screenplay, you want to avoid the as-you-know scenes. You want to avoid the unnecessary exposition. Fighting choreography is much the same way. You want to avoid the unnecessary moves. You want to have a lot of economy of motion. You want to have – everything has to have a purpose and should therefore build on the next things you throw. There should be a psychology to it.
Well, your editing should begin with your second draft.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely, yeah.
It's unclear what's going on here. I think this segment, as opposed to going into the hallway, this segment needed the effects more than that other bit did. Hmm. Because this as I understand it, he's turning off one side and turning on the other and doing stuff. Right. That's why they keep stopping the fight. But it's not really clear without
which
the effects. Oh,
which is really a bummer, because this is probably some of their most sort of elaborate choreography in terms of, like, they thought about it and, like, oh, he turned off this way and go this way. So
a lot of anticipation here too, yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just saying, it's unfortunate that the effects weren't in it so we could see the choreography of it. You know?
On that moment where we reveal that it's the double-sided staff, those kind of moments, I think, is most important to understand the 180 rule, because there was a line cross in that moment, and the 180, when you're breaking it without doing it well, it confuses you as to the geography, and it already makes your brain going, oh, I'm not sure what's going on. So then when you try to have one of those reveals where you're trying to purposefully confuse the audience for a second, you're not doing it well. And you're confusing the audience in a way where they just your brain goes, I don't understand what's going on. And you get frustrated, as opposed to when you see the reveal, you go, oh, now I see what you did there. You know, right. You're not confused in a good way. You're confused in a bad way.
There's something to be said for clarity.
Clarity is incredibly, incredibly important.
Cool. So, Brian, I guess you were just talking, but in terms of the film and the fight?
I didn't mention somebody else did, but I did really like the reverse effects. It was very difficult stuff to do. And in general, I like how a lot of people in this year's contest did practical and tried to use practical elements and practical effects as much as possible. And I thought the reverse in this one was one of the better demonstrations of that.
Cool. Trey? Thoughts?
I think, again, I'll hand off the choreography. I can even as a layman, I can see the choreography wasn't entirely successful in this one, but you guys can elaborate on that. Again, I will say that I admire this, because it's, again, a lengthy entry. We all know that took a long time to shoot and to choreograph and especially to edit. And a lot of it was, again, far better than beginner level. And, it's hard to do, it's hard to do those well no matter what level you're at. And there was some good stuff in there. I don't want to leave the impression that it was, all negative, that there's some very nice moments in there and some good work being done.
Ryan?
Along the same lines, I mean, yeah, we just gave a lot of constructive criticism here. But it's easy to forget that this is a long entry, a little long for my taste. It's drawn out a bit much. I think it could have been condensed, but there's a lot of ambition here. There's a lot that they're really trying to do, and you can sense a lot of the way that they're trying to vary it up and the ideas they're trying to explore. And I think they just need to keep at it and get a little more experience in doing that and what will sell these things and what won't.
Dorkman?
I think that's largely. That's one of the main things, is some of the choreography is, like we talked about, it's certainly a cut above, particularly, the hand-to-hand stuff and everything, but it's just not sold well. I see a lot of punches with, like, bent elbows and stuff like that, and I'm not really feeling the intent. And again, I think the undercurrent of the very intense and purposeful music really accentuated the feeling of it didn't really feel well practiced. It didn't feel like it was really being sold very well. So I would say, which again may have been a factor of the deadline and injuries and recovery and how much time they necessarily had to do it. But as we talked about, angles are part of choreography, and while editing is not exactly part of choreography, what you choose to show and what you don't is an important factor.
And what you choose to spend more time versus less time on.
Yeah.
You almost have to edit before you shoot in a lot of ways for something
absolutely.
Like this.
Yeah, yeah. So, there was some stuff that got stronger towards the end, like we talked about. It felt like we were just trying to get to that stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the future, I would say for a competition like this, you know, for if it's a short film and you want to do a whole thing and show off all your various skills, then that's fine. But for something like this, if you're really trying to sell choreography and really kind of, you know, make a showing in the competition, I would say just – you know, cut out everything but your best stuff.
Yeah.
As much as possible.
Eddie Doty?
I mean, part of the problem of saying the last seat is that everybody says exactly what you want to say. But
let's start from him next time and go the other way.
No, but the I'm certainly not complaining. But the building off of that, I would just say specifically to the entrant, I would say pare that down to about 40% of your length. And then spend the time that you spent shooting and choreographing all that. Spend that time really just refining and rehearsing and practicing and going over and over and over. And not only that, but questioning. Like, okay, if I'm stepping here, then why would I throw this strike? If I'm stepping here, why would I do this? Why am I throwing knees here? And if I am throwing knees here, where can I put the camera to best sell this? I mean, fight choreography, you're trying to make it look like you guys are fighting to the death without actually hurting each other. So it's a sell. You have to sell it to us. So I would spend more time refining and trying to sell the best parts of your choreography, because there were a couple of really good moments in there, as opposed to making something long just for the sake of it being long.
One other thing I'll throw out there, just as a advice to everyone who's getting started, and I continue to get a lot of emails, you know, every week, just sort of asking for just general advice on choreography and making fight scenes and stuff like that. And a lot of them express their frustration in the angles and the way it looks not being what they want or what they envision when they're choreographing.
It doesn't look cool enough.
Which is always hard. That's the case even for everyone, you know.
Yeah.
But one thing, a good exercise to do, you know, even if it's just a very short little bit of choreography that might benefit you guys next time, shoot a bunch of coverage. You know, do the same little bit of move, but then shoot it from every way you can possibly imagine, even stuff you wouldn't think would look good. Get high, get low, get tight, get far. Move it this way, that way, against the motion, and just really sort of explore the different ways that the camera can look at it and find what works and what doesn't.
That's actually a good rule of thumb to start from in mixing things up. And, you know, it's not something that you want to hold to as an ironclad thing.
Again, as an exercise.
Right. Yeah. But if you're just starting out, something to try to do is try and keep the camera away from being eye level. Put it anywhere. Put it lower. Put it higher. Put it anywhere else. But that will automatically make it more interesting.
Yeah, not eye level and not square to the action. Like,
yeah.
It's
exactly.
A straight, you know, profile shot.
That Matrix look has shown up a lot this year, actually.
Another
thing. The long square off.
And that's fine if you have really awesome choreography that holds up.
And you've had 9 months of training with the people who made that choreography.
That's when you do it. That's when you stage it like a stage play. That's because you're giving the audience something that they can just watch and appreciate.
Yeah.
If you're trying to hide flaws, that's when you start cutting and finding good angles.
I wonder if there's – I'm sorry, Eddie. I wonder if there's an analogy to be made with magic, because –
Sleight of hand.
It's misdirection.
It's misdirection, yeah.
Look over here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
With magic, you have to make sure the trick works from one angle.
Yeah.
With lightsaber choreography, you don't. You have to make sure it works pretty well and then find the angle that the audience should be at so it looks really bitchin'.
Yeah.
I would say, you know, another little exercise you could do is take any moment of impact, whether it's, you know, strike or lightsaber or whatever, but any moment that you feel looks really cool, have someone walk with the camera just in a slow circle around you, changing elevation, changing angle. Watch that and say, like, okay, this looks horrible, this looks horrible. There, that looks good. You know, kind of saying what Ryan was saying earlier, but that's a quick exercise you can do, especially if you feel like in an early edit, if you feel like you don't know the best way to get to a, you know, to frame a particular moment.
Yeah, just it's expanding your vocabulary of the kinds of shots you can do. At first, you're going to want to shoot a lot of coverage, and as you get more experienced, you won't, because you'll be like, all right, I know where to put the camera now. But if you haven't done a lot of putting the camera in different places, then you're not going to know where to put it, so experiment.
But the ability to do that only comes through experience.
Right,
it only comes
absolutely.
Through doing it and screwing it up and going, oh, that was awful, why did I put the camera there, and finding a new and doing it over
and thank you for taking the constructive criticism so well, sir.
Yes,
I know all of you guys that are entrants, I know these can all sound really harsh, like we're really aping on you.
Yeah, and it's not.
That's not what we're doing
at
all.
And what we've just been talking about, by the way,
we've all done it. That's
is,
the thing.
Yeah, is
we've
largely a global note as well. We should say it's not just you. We're talking about varying the camera and all that. That's everyone.
We've had those desk pounding moments at the edit station. I mean, we know your pain.
Cool. Let's move on to the next one. Vimeo people. That's Cappy Gill Productions, number 5. Go ahead and have your mouse ready. And here we go. 3, 2, 1. on pause.
Yeah, just to complete the thought of that last, I'm editing my first feature right now, and I'm wishing, oh, I can't believe I covered this scene so badly, and I'm living with that decision. So it's not like you ever
Trey the director is hated by Trey the editor.
Oh yeah, Trey.
Well, Brian the editor is
is hating
is hating Trey the director.
Yeah. I got to start. I'm sorry, guys. This intro is way too long.
Yeah.
I don't want to seem like I'm being a bitch about it, but it's really, really long.
Again,
we don't need this.
Again, with any
really don't.
With any element of anything you're doing, why does it need to be there, and how long does it have to be there before the
right.
point is communicated?
I get very angry when I see a title sequence that has an inverse amount of care to it than the actual film itself.
Right.
Because. Right. You know, I'm an editor first, but I've had to learn some VFX, and you know, so I know the amount of work it goes into that sort of thing. And I don't have a lot of patience for people who spend a long time on their title sequence, and then a relatively
and then the movie amount, itself the middle, is
suffers.
One third is the length of the title sequence. I have a running joke that I always say that 99% of web series are an amazing title sequence that then cuts to a badly lit apartment in Silver Lake.
Right.
I do want to appreciate though that no one did the Star Wars crawl. Let's give a clap for that. Thank you.
Everyone got 10 points for not doing that.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Now
okay, we're into a movie
here we
now.
Go.
Yeah.
Some stuff's going on, y'all. How'd you guys feel about the intro credits? The actual titles on the streets and on the walls?
Fine, but does it really
concept.
Bring anything to this story?
Only upon watching it a second time did I recognize, oh, I think they're supposed to be cut by a lightsaber and they're glowing.
And by the way, these are Dutch angles for the sake of Dutch angles. Right. Like, if you're going to be establishing, firstly, you don't need 4 establishing shots. You don't need all this. Secondly, if you do it, don't be too clever by half. Just get what you need to get and get out.
Right. And remember, again, I mean, talking about title sequences and stuff, these are 3-4-5 minute lightsaber fights. We don't need 2 minutes of credits telling us who's in it, because largely we don't know who any of those people are anyway. No offense, but we just don't need to know who's in it. It's what is the show us the performance, show us the choreography.
Yeah, you guys have intros in RVD.
Well, yes, but part of the gag of RVD is that it's the forum people
right.
who hate each other getting a lightsaber thing. Whereas
that.
If you get, you know, X versus Y, it's like, I don't know who any of those people are, so
right.
I don't really get why we're making a big thing.
Now,
trust us, if your fight is good, we will remember you.
Yeah. Like, I will say, though, that, I, you know, again, we're all jaded filmmakers. It's really cool to see your name on the screen. It's really cool if people helped you out, that they see their name
right.
on the screen. It's really fun to have a production company and a cool, snazzy logo. I understand the attraction of all that. But, you know, and that's fine. I'm sure a lot of people have no problem with it all. But, again, we're sort of judging on a slightly elevated scale here.
Yeah, right. The other thing, too,
I understand totally why people do it. I don't question it at all.
And I'm happy to meet you halfway. If your title is quick, that's cool too.
Yeah,
like, you know,
if it's quick and fun and clever, that's awesome. And it's like, and it's 5 seconds, great. You know,
when I first put together when I first finished editing Injured Stormtrooper, because the actual film itself is only like 3 minutes long or whatever.
Uh-huh.
My credits when I first timed them out were as long as the actual film. It's like, okay, I got to fix that.
Yeah.
Got to run them a little faster.
I have a question for the intrent or interer or whoever it is. What did you film this on? Because even when it's playing, you guys that are watching it on the chat room there are probably seeing it at probably 10 frames per second. But here it's playing at maybe 12 or 15 frames per second. It looks very phony or very, like, I don't know, webcam-y.
iPhone.
The only reason I don't think...
iPhone-y.
The only reason... That's right. I don't think it's one of those is that there's no hideous rolling shutter. So I'm just curious what the camera was.
But we'll talk about that.
We'll talk about that in a second. So now we get our third entrant into the fracas here. By and large, there's a little bit of targeting issues. There's a little bit of I will give the gentleman in the blue shirt, I will say that he does make a strong attempt to sell a lot of this stuff. The problem is that the physical stuff that they're selling, like the hits and the bumps and whatnot, I think he's overselling a little bit. And also the thing is, if you injure your guy, if you have a sequence where, oh, I've hurt my guy and he's staggering backwards, the other person should make an attempt to make a kill shot that that will end up getting deflected or whatever. Don't just wait. Don't just let them hang out
right,
there.
Right, right. The point of and again, this actually becomes kind of a global note because there's a lot of bashing someone in the face and then waiting until they recover and then coming
right,
in at
yeah.
them. And the whole point of bashing them in the face is so that they're off their game and
so
you can do
kill
something.
Them.
Yeah.
Which, to be fair, is a larger action cliche
That's,
out
sure.
in the world. But.
Sure.
Even then, it doesn't make sense.
Right.
It would be great to subvert that and
right.
invert that, avoid that cliche.
Well, I do have to say that, again, the setup does affect some of that. I mean, I think the intent of the choreography can have many different intents. It
certainly,
if it's a fight to the death, that's one way to approach
right.
your choreography. If it's one guy who wants to inflict as much pain on another guy before finishing him off, you would have a moment like that.
And that's
like, you
fine.
Know, yeah, savor that because I'm going to make you, you know, just make you feel every hit. If it's two guys who are sparring and not actually fighting to the death, that's a different kind of intent that also
exactly.
can be played differently.
But
which is why I like the Eclipse entry from a couple of years ago where the whole point was that they weren't trying to kill each other. It was the sparring.
Which goes back to defining what you're doing and what your situation
right.
is at the outset and letting those basic core decisions influence the decisions that then come downstream.
Right, and that's why Eclipse was one of my favorites and still is one of my favorites because even though there's not a lot of choreography, every move matters.
Right there when the guy did the sidekick, the other guy was just standing there waiting for him to be done before he attacked when he's literally less than a foot away from him. That's not intention-based. Like, he should have done something to at that moment, or he should not have been that close, or something. Some thought of should have been going into those little moments of anticipation or waiting for the other person to catch up. It's one thing when I say go for a kill shot, but something should happen in moments like that.
Go ahead.
I was just a joke. I will say that the guy in blue looks kind of like a guy that was in my acting class for a while that I didn't like. So that's a hit against it.
are we counting that? Are we okay? So this are we actually scoring on that?
It looks like the guy who stole my girlfriend.
Yeah,
I hate that guy.
But you know, we haven't really been talking about the choreography. And choreography-wise, it's fairly rudimentary, I think.
It's
again,
pretty basic.
Another fairly basic one.
And I, you know, again, not to pile on, but there's a subplot here about a bounty hunter and being wanted, and I didn't quite get how that fit
right.
into the story.
Right.
Star Wars girl.
Star Wars girl. Oh dear, and the Star Wars girl. Oh
you
my
jinxed
god,
jinxed it.
Oh look at that. Oh everyone look. Oh there's a crawl. It's actually not a big deal.
Yeah.
Big deal. We were just joking about it, dude. Don't worry about it.
Well, it wasn't at the beginning. You can get away with a lot more if it's at the end.
Also,
I think.
I think by looking at it, I think you can sort of see that a Star Wars crawl at internet size, unless you blow it up to high def, is often illegible. You can't actually read it.
Bold is your friend.
Wait a second. The crawl is still going, and now it's another crawl, but it's not Star Wars.
It's in papyrus. And, and by the way, it mentioned music from Twilight Eclipse.
Yeah, it's like, could there be any
it's
more?
It's all coming back together.
The movie is now at negative 47 points. We really have to,
As long
again,
as I don't see
you made a movie, guys, and
and
we all made first movies that we would not. We should do that. I still say we should do that.
What?
After all the year, literally over a year that here at Down in Front, we've been. We should show our oldest, worst, stupidest.
Yes,
baddest
I am totally
movies.
Down.
I've got some bad stuff.
No, dude.
Got,
here's a funny thing
you know,
for those that are
like,
in there.
It's all about the next one being better. That's what everything
exactly.
is always about.
Exactly.
Dorkman used to rip me to shreds.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was right. How do you guys feel about the fight, Ryan, Trey?
The actual fighting was fairly rudimentary, and I felt most of it in general was
didn't really grab you.
Didn't really grab me, but again, props for just making and finishing the movie because that itself is a Herculean task.
Trey Stokes,
that's same again. It's in the middle there. You know, it's you got it done, and like I said, if you want to make more, then really look at it. Regardless of what we say or anyone else says, you have to look at it yourself, and you have to look at it yourself and take away all the we really worked hard, and we took all day to get that shot, and really try and look at it as if you paid $10 in a theater to look at it.
Right.
And does this you have to disassociate yourself from everything you make, and your mom loves everything you do. My mom loves everything I do, but that's
mom loves everything I do too.
She does actually. She keeps she won't shut up about it. In fact, and I'm a little sick of that at Christmas every year. But anyway, you have to look at your own stuff with the most critical eye, and be willing to hate it and realize that you could do better.
Cool, Ryan Weber.
None of the choreography here really sort of jumped out at me. I think it just sort of like functioned,
but it functions.
Yeah, it functions.
We really have to figure out what the gray line is between choreography that is there and the points are there, and then really selling it and what the difference is. We can go through that in future
and
movies,
there's definitely sort of they're trying, and there's like for example they're staying kinetic and they're moving around. They're like they're kind of staying moving, but it's often sort of in a circling each other kind of a way, or moving sort of back and forth, but not it doesn't have that sort of driving, like really pushing it in one direction or the other and things like that. And it's sort of it's beginning to do a lot of the right things.
Dorkman?
As Trey was talking about with kind of the bounty backstory and stuff like that. It's the same in the choreography. It's like at no time am I really clear on exactly what's going on. It's like we talked about before compared to Jeff Hibbert's entry. It's like you can't really tell when someone is on the offense or the defense,
right?
And you can't tell
how his actions of, oh, I'm trying to get this bounty, how that is defining the
choreography. Right, exactly. And shot choices and editing, as we've discussed, also make it unclear because there's no real flow. Which is part of it, it makes it difficult to get into the choreography and really engage with it, because each time it makes an awkward cut, you have to reorient yourself. Yeah. And it distracts you from the choreography for a second or two before you can get back into it. And when that's happening on every cut and you're cutting a lot, it makes it very difficult to engage with it. So I would say for this group in particular, you're definitely going to want to work. I think the choreography is there in some senses. It's just selling it. Well, selling it, not just performance, but display, how to show it and how to communicate it more clearly.
Cool. Eddie?
Not much more to say for this one. A lot. This one kind of definitely it should have a logic. The progression of moves should be a logical conclusion. It should be, I was doing this move, then I have to do this move, then I would do this move. I would just say for this entrant, watch it again and with a critical eye and look like, okay, I just threw this swing. Next, he's going to do this. Would he really want to do that? Like, does this really make sense? And it should. And however you finish the fight with either somebody getting killed or whatnot, that should be a result of all those moves that lead up to it. So I would say with that, just keep an eye out for that.
Cool.
I don't know how people generally. I'm sorry. I know we got to get through it, but as a general, I don't know how people generally choreograph. If there's like one person who thinks up the moves and teaches it to everyone else, that used to kind of be the way that like we worked. But now, what helps us is actually working through it together and move by move. And each time, both of us are thinking. We're aware of which one of us is on the offense and which is on the defense. And it's always It'll be the kind of thing where he'll go, oh, what if I did this? And it's like, well, I don't think you should do that because then I can just totally kill you right here.
So you play it out like a slow-mo chess game.
You go in slow motion and you figure it out, and it's like, okay, if you did that, I could just kill you right here.
You're so both working out the imaginary situation that you're both in
and
simultaneously.
And it's like, we're both thinking, this is what I have to do to win the fight at any given move. And if it's like, well, if you do that, I can kill you right here, and he'll either think, well, okay, so I'm not, either A, I'm not going to do that, or B, if you try to do that, then I'll do this, and then you've got another move out of it, and you build it up from there, and it takes a while. But doing it that way, I think creates much tighter choreography and more intention, and you feel what's going on, and it's more clearly communicated.
I would just say that coming off of that, the very first martial art I ever did was Tai Chi Chuan. And when you think of Tai Chi, you don't necessarily think of fighting or really hardcore stuff. But in Tai Chi, we do an energy drill called pushing hands. And I've done Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and Muay Thai since then, so I've done lots of, quote, hard stuff since then. But that actually helps out a lot with fight choreography, just going slow and feeling where the other guy's intention is going and how you deal with that. I would recommend anybody and everybody try things like that. Try things like Chi Sao or Hubud or any sort of like energy drill where you really have to kind of improv with somebody, and that will really make you think from the inside out of how to really construct a fight in your mind.
Ryan, last thoughts?
Yeah, what I was going to say from what Mike was just talking about in terms of just going very, very slow and kind of, okay, what if I did this? And you're like, no, that won't work. Okay, what if I did this? Oh, well, if I blocked it like this, going through it very slowly. That's also how some of the most inventive and interesting choreography ideas develop, because you're there and you're doing something that the other person would not think of.
Right.
You surprise them, and then you go, oh, that's great. Well, I'd have to do this, I guess. And then you go from there, and you get all sorts of fun things, like,
because there's a genuine back and forth involved in the scene.
Yeah. And there's often moments when we do that, and it's like, well, then I do this, and it's like, oh shit. Okay, give me a second.
Right on.
That's how you get pulling your hand down and the saber hits you in the face.
Exactly.
Cool. Now, I want to address this next one before we start. We're on to number 6, Vimeo People, Drew J. Moore's entry. This was one of two that have, prior to being in the contest, questionable running times or questionable duration of sabers. This one was too short.
I see.
Originally, and people voted to let it go in. So this is in the contest, and it gets judged evenly as the rest of them are, and that's not our job to screen them. However, here's the email I got from him, and I want to, since it's such a short entry, I want to go into this first so we can have an eye on it.
Right.
After editing, I had just over 1 minute of short film with maybe 4 seconds of lit saber action, too short by a large margin for the contest. So I recut the piece a dozen different ways, finally settling upon a series of pulses, repeating detailed images highlighting each sequential beat in the choreography. Putting faded out sections between the, with the right sound gave me a trailer feel that seems just right, like a misdirection that sells for the longer form of the film without giving away the real ending. And those pauses also serve to burn the images into the mind of the viewer and carry them through into the next barrage of images with a good sense of exactly what's going on. Shall we?
Wow.
Okay.
So
yeah, M. Night Shyamalan's writing one of those for his next movie too.
Cool.
I want that guy. I want him to write the back of my DVD though.
Yeah,
I totally do.
I want to write my obituary. Jesus.
So that being said, Vimeo people, 3, 2, 1, unpause.
They just spent a bunch of time bashing M. Night in the chat, so that probably had more teeth than it meant to.
Yeah.
But
so here we go.
Somebody says Fig looks homeless.
Ow, which is funny because we're in his home.
And that you're smoking a hookah.
That's part of it.
It's great.
The death of a thousand wounds begins with a single... No, it could really... The first wound could really kill you.
Yeah, the first one can do it.
The 40th could.
Now, this is okay. Clone work, which is nice.
I had no idea the first time I watched it.
It's very clean.
I didn't notice
clean.
It was clones either.
Yeah. So, and I don't know if I ever got that.
I don't really know what's happening.
Yeah. This is one guy?
Yep, yeah. It's one guy fighting himself.
Cloning. Well, all right then. So we can, that's huge. That's not easy at all.
He's keeping the camera moving a lot throughout it, which I appreciate. There's a lot of camera motion, a lot of zooms, which is more difficult to get around. The camera motion you can fake a little bit, but the zooms like that, not so much. So that's pretty impressive.
And there it was.
Yeah, it's an awesome effects demo. There's some great, great effects work going on throughout. And that's, we have to absolutely give props for that.
Cool. Well, that was the entry.
Yeah.
Brian Fenifter?
I totally missed that it was a clone the first time through, which is actually a point in its favor, because you never, just in the same way, you don't want to write to show people what kind of an awesome writer you are, or act really hard so people say what an awesome actor you are. You don't want your effects to ever wave their hands around and go, look at these awesome effects that I'm doing. You want the effects to serve the story and hopefully be invisible to everything else.
Right.
As George Lucas once said, I'm just kidding.
So in that sense, it's actually a good point in its favor. It did a complicated effect, and I never once, even at least my first time through, questioned the fact that it was an effect.
Right,
Trey.
Yeah, and I actually absolutely have something positive to say. As the email pointed out, is well, the entrant, Drew, shot some stuff, realized that there was a problem with it, and then tried to creatively work around, like, well, how can I make this into an entry?
Yeah.
And then was willing to submit it and show it and knowing that there would probably be some comments about it. These are all hard things to do, and it's something, again, it never stops, no matter what level you get. And if you want to do this for a living and continue it, no matter what level you get, Chris Nolan was sitting in the app, looking at Inception going, oh, this moment doesn't work at all. What are we going to do?
Yeah.
I guarantee you it never ends. So it's a great learning experience to have a film that you have to kind of change your mind about what it was going to be after you start to put it together, because it didn't come out the way you wanted it to. And, I give huge points for coming up with a way to make something out of what was essentially about 5 shots.
I totally agree with that. Ryan?
Definitely. But, similar to the other one where I said basically the same thing, it's kind of like, well, that's all cool, but, I didn't read any of that stuff before I watched it. I'm still going to evaluate it as just, here it is, I'm watching it, and what did I think of it? And I kind of like the idea of it, of really, really examining every single nuance and move of a very small amount of choreography, but I don't think the complexity of
the choreography,
here really warranted that exploration. And so instead, it felt kind of repetitious, and it felt like it actually had a very sort of confusing nature to it, where I was not exactly. It actually ended up being more confusing to me.
You don't have enough time to figure out what's going on. It's interesting because in a couple of entries, number 8, we see stuff that's similar to that in Jedi Pastor's entry. Dorkman?
Yeah, kind of the same thing. It's like it was meant to really hone in and focus get a hyper close look at each small move. But again, in part probably because that wasn't the plan, and he had to make that work. I think it actually serves the opposite purpose and makes it a little more difficult to follow, because with each cut you're like, is that a different thing? Oh no, that was this. Okay. Wait. So what? And again, you're kind of distracted by it, and So it's a great effects work and a great example of solving problems in editing. But as a lightsaber choreography entry, I don't think it doesn't have enough to show for that. Right. It's got a lot going on elsewhere, but for the purposes of this competition, I don't think it's quite enough.
Do you sympathize as someone who has also had his arm cut off by a lightsaber?
Yes. But he had both, so it's even worse.
You're having some PTSD.
He's never going to play the guitar again.
Oh, God.
Eddie Doty.
Certainly I applaud. I edit for a living, and I love the idea of using editing to save your ass because I am forced to do it sort of daily. But the thing I would say is that I like sort of what you're going for with a relatively quick sequence. It's more Iaido than Kendo in the sense that it's just a couple strokes and then the thing's over. I'm a sucker for that stuff. With that said, I would if you want to do stuff like that, either to this particular entrant or to anybody in general, I would recommend watching some early Kurosawa. I would recommend watching the Samurai trilogy with Toshirô Mifune, because you can really see how you can stage a relatively short fight sequence and yet have it really, you can draw it out with some of your cutaways and your establishings and your angle choices, and you can really build the tension so that when you have those relatively few movements, you can really take people's breath away with the amount of tension underneath it.
Take their breath away. Dee dee. All right. Vimeo people.
Let's move on.
We're on entry 7, y'all.
Note, I guess, is what that was.
Hey.
We're on that sound.
We're on to
that tone.
DX6 channels. So Vimeo people, ready to go? 3, 2, 1, unpause. There we go.
Okay, DX6 channel. I'm trying to remember this one.
Long saber.
Yeah, the sniper ones with the
oh, yeah. Masks,
With guns, also with guns, yes.
Yes.
I love the idea of incorporating range weapons, and I like that it's bounty hunters in the Star Wars universe. I like that. I like that we're going to see some range with the melee. But, you know.
I just can't get over how damn cool that blaster rifle is.
Yeah, we're gonna, yeah.
Oh, yes, that rules. Yeah. Well played, son. Well played.
And
that
gonna,
is cool.
We're going to
see
that
it
here
yet,
in a second.
But,
yeah,
it's coming up.
Spoilers.
Well, someone's going to be talking over it. Who cares?
Yeah.
With that said, if you're going to take the time to learn fighting posture, I would take the time to learn actual military posture, the way that he holds the weapon here. He's a little high in the stance, a little loose with it. That said, that auto blaster is the hotness.
Yeah. And the interactive lighting is very nice. I like that detail. It really helps sell that element of it.
Right. My only criticism here is, well, not my only, but some of the criticism I have here is you have him down on the ground. How about you kill him? You're very clearly a bounty hunter. You want
to have
him
his
dead.
Gun in your hand.
And you could have shot him to death and stabbed him if you really felt like it. But I love the lightsaber naginata here. I think that's a missed opportunity. I like the double saber that essentially isn't just to Darth Maul specs.
Yeah.
I like people getting creative with this. I would love to see light Eskrima sticks, so I love this, but they don't really take opportunity of the range afforded by this weapon.
A lot of waiting there in that stab.
Yeah.
I will say, though, that on one of my earlier points is the way the rest of that little moment played when the fella disarmed the other fella and took his gun and destroyed his gun, there did seem to be a little more of, no, I want to make this last. I want to enjoy this moment.
Right.
I don't want to kill you right away. I want to kill you slow. So I think that kind of justifies that. Now, as far as once the fight is on, then I think your points are valid. But I think it's a movie trope, but we all love it, where the villain goes, no, we're gonna make this last.
I think
that's perfectly okay.
And that's fine, but it's very clearly these guys are bounty hunters. It's very clearly that they're there to collect a bounty and to assassinate the other. And in that case, if it's an assassination trope, then it needs to, every move should support that.
Even as something as simple as setting up in the story that the bounty hunter has to take the other guy alive. Mm-hmm.
That'd be
something
fine.
Very simple to make that approach.
Yeah, that
clear.
Exactly. But in the absence of clear definition, I'm going to assume that the intention is to kill.
I like the interaction with the blasters on the ground. A lot of good effects work.
There's
this
a lot
year,
of good,
honestly.
Nice
non-lightsaber
effects. Sort of incidental.
Yeah.
It doesn't stop and look at my awesome effect. It's integrated really nicely.
I like drawing the sidearm, and I like, okay, the sidearm's down. Now I'm back to saber. I like that. I just wish some of the other transitions from the range to the melee was a little bit smoother and a little bit more logical. That was a bad sell on the punch, by the way. That's the camera should be on the opposite side or slightly behind and at 45 if you're going to sell a shot from that or sell a punch from that angle.
I'm not a judge. But this is actually one of my favorite entries. I just really
I like this one a lot.
I like the way this plays out. I love the inventiveness of the effects. I love the blaster thingy, and I really like the idea of the long saber thing. Even though Eddie knows what it is and how it should work, I don't. I think it's cool. That's why I'm not a judge.
This is I was
again
this
that,
is one pu-
that
I
punch
was...
didn't sell well. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. That again, okay. That punch was the bad angle to show that punch.
Oh, I like this bit. This is a funny gag, if I remember right here properly.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
no,
great.
I missed it. I missed it earlier. It's like he pulls his gun, but he's got his lightsaber out, so he accidentally shoots the blade and almost kills himself with it. I thought that was a funny bit.
This was one of the ones, most entertaining ones, I felt.
It's very entertaining, yeah. And again, you know, when
and
we
in,
offer
in
critique,
terms of like which one am I most entertained, which one did I enjoy watching the most, this was near the top of my list.
I would agree with that.
I have actually just the more I watch it, a lot of issues with some of the performance things. You know, you're talking about those missed, you know, cells on some of the punches and stuff. But there's a lot of getting to the block and waiting for the other attack to hit there. And there's like they did a move a few seconds ago where I think one of them was going to like swing the inside of his fist against the other one, and he blocked it, but it was between them, so he wasn't really blocking anything.
Exactly.
And things like that.
That I mean, that one in particular, I was looking at it feels. It feels less like one is swinging and one is blocking. It feels more like, okay, and now we put our hands here.
Right.
And then we move on to this.
I get the feeling that was one of those things where it's like it started as – so he was hitting and then he started blocking. But as they kept rehearsing, it got more and more, okay,
looser,
I do this, we do this, we do this. And then the intention is lost. You know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Brian, Trey?
Yeah, like I just said, this in terms of which ones did I enjoy watching the most, this is near the top of my list.
Trey.
Same here. As an overall effort, if you know, judging on all categories, I think this is a very strong effort. And I think, again, I think there's some good choreography in here, not perfect all the way through. Even I can see that. But I think a lot of it works really well. There's some very strong filmmaking. And that makes whatever the choreography was, the choreography that there is enhanced by the fact that this is a generally well-shot project and a well-paced one and a well-cut one.
Ryan Weba.
I agree with that, but I think just sort of the quality of the film in general is sort of outshining the choreography itself, and there are a lot of sort of little performance issues like we were talking about that I don't think. I think it could be improved next time around, and it's kind of the same thing. It's like, you know, if it's just a little, you know, nothing that they're doing is necessarily wrong. It's actually all on the right track. They just need to refine it a little more, right. I think.
Dorkman?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think.
How do you refine that way?
Yeah. A lot of it is practicing it, tightening it up. Again, we're harping on this, but it's really something that bears constant repeating, and even, you know, constant repeating to yourself when you're working on it. Make it clear what the intention is each time. Who's attacking? Who's defending? Why? What's their plan? If this doesn't work, what's the plan after this? You know, they should always be thinking one move ahead. Either way, either what do I do if he blocks this, or what do I do to counter this? And more practice, you'll be able to amp up the intensity. And also in terms of the shooting, like we talked about, this is between the choreography and the filmmaking. I think the filmmaking is certainly more advanced than a lot of other people's stuff is.
Absolutely.
If anything, just a little tightening up would help as well with the editing.
Yeah.
You know, that could probably help alleviate some of the problems we're talking about, as well as you know, practicing it and improving the performance.
Right.
You can do a lot with the editing as well.
Right.
Eddie Doty.
You know, in my mind, I really enjoyed watching this entry, and in my mind, this is a good entry that has some things that are weighing it down and preventing it from being a great entry, like one that really, you know, kind of, you know, one that's it, to me, it's like it's almost there in a lot of ways, but there's a few things that trip it up a little bit that I just feel like, why, what happened?
Someone in the chat said, who's the guy with the blue shirt? And then we all answered, and then he's
Ryan.
Like, I know, he always wears a blue shirt.
It was a joke.
I totally missed the joke.
Hey-o.
I'm sorry, Eddie.
For my mind, I think refining a few things and smoothing out some rough edges, I think, would have made this entry go a long way. As a film, it's really, really cool, and I would gladly watch that again.
Cool. Vimeo people, I hope you're ready to go with Jedi Pastors, number 8.
Number 8.
So let's get into that one right now. Mouse on the play button. 3, 2, 1, unpause. And we're in.
Are we?
Yeah,
we're in. It's going.
Oh, it takes a little while.
It's a slow roll into it, yeah.
Gotcha. Wait, did we skip the little...
Nope.
No, it's happening.
What? Oh. Mm-hmm. Whoa. Okay.
I think on Vimeo, I don't think it has that much lead.
I'm confused.
Right.
Yeah, whatever.
Sorry, we may be. Well, with the lag, it'll matter.
Exactly.
It's a brief entry, but a merry one.
Someone talk about this one.
Well, we've got to wait till it gets in there.
Yeah, right now it's a title.
Yeah. So.
Well, this one is the memento of this year.
Yes.
It's as a film, it's one of the most wildly creative concepts.
Absolutely.
And extremely polished.
And extremely well made. This is some very high end filmmaking here with real stuff happening.
Yeah, beautiful jib shot. I love the color palette here. I really like the it's a park, but it's a relatively shallow depth of field. I really like all this stuff here.
Well, I think the depth of field is actually pretty deep, but it's the lighting that makes
it's
it fall off.
Yeah. And as a concept, I really
very good idea.
Great idea.
Very well.
Yeah.
It's one thing to have a good idea. It's another thing to execute its full potential.
Mm-hmm. I think the music helps a great deal.
Right.
I mean, it would be it's fine even watching it now, but the music really makes it come together, as music should, as opposed to distracting from it.
And, I mean, you can't really talk about any moment of choreography without talking about the choreography as a whole because of the very nature of it. From a choreography standpoint, I really like it. I really like – it's a logical progression. It's not the longest fight, but I really like – you get the drama, the tension. That's a sort of a awkward position, but I buy it enough. Like it's not bad. This I just really like the flow of one move from another and how it's kind of a perfect palindrome of a fight. You can really watch it neither forward or backward, and you really kind of get it's enjoyable in both directions, I guess.
Yeah, I'm of the same mind. Initially, I was kind of like, well, there's not a lot of choreography, but. Going back to what we were talking about with Eclipse in previous years and stuff like that, it's very well done choreography because every strike matters.
Yeah, everything counts.
Now, as you should chime in about what we talked about before.
Well, I don't know if we'll be mentioning these as we go, but I have this as my number two. I think we all did a 1-2-3, and then we did a whole voting thing based on points, and. The thing is, I think I like the concept of this and the idea of it more than I necessarily like the execution of the choreography itself, because I think the thing is you just opened the door into an outstanding little world of a way to show choreography in a way that people haven't seen before,
right.
And it has kind of its own rules to it. But I don't feel like there's anything here that really utilizes that. In a way that I feel like this is just some good, well thought out choreography. I like the credits running backwards.
Yeah. That was slick.
I feel like this is just some good choreography that then is run backwards, and it wasn't really built to utilize it. I mean, I feel like this is a great idea, but I think a number of us, like in this room, or those out there who also did other entries, if you put on your Michel Gondry hat for about 20 minutes, you come up with a lot of really interesting ideas of ways to sort of. You know, foreshadow things and you know, have things that end up, you think you know how that happened, but as you get back to the beginning, you didn't, you know, and you can, it's a whole different little way.
Yeah, weird setup instead of payoff and stuff like that. I do want to say I had a little bit of an issue with the quote at the end, not because it's a Bible quote, but just because, like, I got it. Like, I feel like you're underselling the audience a little bit by telling them what the point is when it seemed pretty clear.
Right, but, you shouldn't need that to make your point, and if you do need the quote, the title card at the end, then you haven't made your point
right,
in the film.
Right,
but the film makes its point beautifully.
I think the film did make its point, which makes the title card unnecessary.
Yeah, but I'm sure he's going to want to, you know, show this in church and stuff like that. And so
and he should.
The quote
if it was made with church equipment, it's very stunning.
Oh, I mean,
This shows off that you guys are clearly great at whatever video production you're doing.
That's going to kill at church. That's going to run forever. And rightly so. It deserves to.
This is one of the entries that I think will have a life on YouTube as well.
Absolutely.
Brian, how do you feel about the short, the filmmaking, the fighting?
At its core, it's a really good idea executed, not perfectly, but very, very well. And just something, an interesting idea done well, the hardest part about filmmaking is having a good idea at the start of it. And if you can do that, you've won more than 3/4 of the battle. And then the rest of it is done very professionally, very well, and with a
style,
with an identity. It looks different. It feels like I'm watching this. I'm not watching anything else. I'm watching this specifically. And that's definitely a feeling you want to convey.
Trey Stokes, award-winning creator of Pink 5.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I was just like throwing that out. The Amazing Stokes.
But yeah, where's the amazing? Hold on.
Trey the Amazing Stokes.
Yes. I think this is... again, as filmically, I think this is the best entry in terms of the overall achievement as a minor motion picture. This, I think, is technically the best one, which we're not grading on, but I just want to make sure that I say that because I think it's really quite an amazing achievement. I have to say that Tig is giving.
People are telling me to lean forward. Sorry.
Yeah, fine. Yeah.
Jesus. Otherwise, where's Ark?
We can't see him smoke his e-cigarette, and that's important. Important information. I can't stress enough that from the first frame, I was like, "What is this? This is quite something." And the fact that it happens to have lightsabers in it makes it eligible for this contest. But it's such a little part of what that overall achievement is, and it really absolutely I salute it tremendously.
Cool.
I will say the one thing is I didn't quite get it was only the quote that made me understand what it was I had just seen.
Oh, really?
I didn't quite get it the first time. I have to say that.
I thought the title, The Full Measure of Devotion, I thought that. But if the quote made it work,
then I'm wrong. And I will say this also, even at a second viewing, maybe I need to watch it and watch it like it was maybe intended to be like watch it backwards and really kind of fully get it, like play it backwards on QuickTime or something like that. Did he save his friend by doing that?
No,
yes,
he died.
Yes. No,
okay,
no.
He did save his friend. Okay.
He died, and
but there, he saved his
friend. There's the move where the move that he plays backwards and forwards, just to make sure you understand that it's going backwards.
I didn't quite get it.
And in that move, he slices through the other guy's waist. So he kills the other guy, but in so doing, he dies himself.
All right, then again, I but that's probably more my fault than the film's fault, because I think this is a film that it kind of makes you want to watch it more than one time.
Exactly.
And I haven't had that opportunity. I've only had a chance to see it a few times.
Before I go to Ryan, I want to read an excerpt out of his email that he sent me. In the credits under Rotoscope Artists, you'll see that my name as well as my son's name. He's 9. I showed him how to use Bezier curves in motion, and he did one saber. It's the red saber when the green saber is turning off. He also operated the DVR as well we were filming, and he would record playback for each take so I could see it on set. I'm starting him young.
That is adorable.
That's adorable.
That is adorable. Right.
Ryan Weber.
Or child abuse, depending on how you're
upset about. We're going to send someone to
rotoscoping.
We're sending someone over right away to put a stop to it.
I know.
It's only child abuse if you move your child to Korea and then make him do the rotoing. Ryan?
I think I kind of summed up most of my opinion just a couple of minutes ago. But, I'm putting this as number 2 on my list of top 3, and primarily I'm awarding the concept because this is just very, very inventive and creative in terms of how to show a lightsaber fight, and I really appreciate that. And even though I think that it could be explored even further in terms of its choreography itself, I think it's just such a cool idea, and it's very well done for what it is, that I think it's really a strong entry.
Michael Dorkman, Scott, creator of Kung Fu Red.
Yeah. As soon as I realized that it was going backwards, I was like, I got very excited because I'm like, that's awesome. I wouldn't have thought of that, and that's a great way to, like you say, it's a very original way to show. I'm in agreement with you that I don't think it leveraged all of the opportunities that were given of going backwards, of being able to do set up and pay off, but backwards, where the payoff is the setup and vice versa, et cetera. But as a film, I think it's definitely the most creative concept, and I'm with you, Brian, that's half the battle. It's like, wow, that's awesome. It got my attention, and it made me pay attention the whole time. I think the choreography could have been more creative, certainly, but at the same time, every move does count. You see the consequences, and then you see it move backwards through the move and stuff like that. So even though there's not a lot of choreography, I still think, and it's not as well thought out as maybe it could have been, I still think it is one of the best thought out of this competition, absolutely.
Eddie the Eddie Doty.
I think you probably could have added like another beat, like maybe another count of 4 in there, 4 hits in there, and it would have it would have been good, but I wouldn't have wanted to see a whole lot more. And from that sense, I really give Jedi Pastor a lot of credit for, the opposite of the other entry that was very long that needed some editing. This is a good example of a piece that, okay, this is a story I want to tell, and every single move is going to support that story. Every single move is going to support that character. And he picked a way of telling the story with the backwards that illustrated that story. So this is where every aspect of the film, from the cinematography, the performance, the choreography, the editing of the choreography, is hitting on all cylinders. And while this is a lightsaber choreography contest, when I judge the choreography, I'm judging the rest of the story through the lens of the choreography. From that perspective, this was an enormous success. I think you there may be one or two kind of nitpicky things I could throw in there where it could have made it a little bit better or shine a little bit. But by and large, this is the type of fight choreography I want to see more of.
Cool. I have a quick question for the table. We talked on, I think it was entry 6, the Drew J. Moore's, about using time and playing with it to affect or not, and we compared it to this one. Why does this one work for us more than his does? Is it just more clear what's going on in this one?
There's a story.
I think there's more of a purpose. Yeah. There's also more of a purpose to the idea, and it's disregarding kind of what I was saying before. But this is still a refreshing and different way to view the choreography that makes you look at it in a different light versus the other one where it was just you're kind of looking at the same thing again, as if you're supposed to be looking more closely, but I don't think it is as successful.
Sweet. All right, Vimeo people, I hope you're on number 9 with Jay Sullivan. So we're going to transition to that, and let's begin. 3, 2, 1, unpause. The last one and this one both have kind of long lead-ups. I'm not exactly sure why that is.
This one's not as long.
No.
I'm trying. Oh, this is the...
this is the parking garage.
The assassin.
Is it?
I think it's the assassin.
Okay.
Yep, the assassin.
Eddie knows what he's talking about.
For some reason, that logo, it looks a little bit like Assassin's Creed, the logo for that game. I do like the rack. I do like.
Hey, she doesn't show up till later.
Excuse me.
Oh my!
Yeah, no, it's not the rack that gets featured in this scene.
I do like the rack focus coming into there.
This is kind of like what if Assassin's Creed took place in the modern day? That's kind of what it is.
Yeah.
And the guy worked for Geek Squad.
For Geek Squad.
I like that everyone kind of dressed formally for this lightsaber fight. That was one of the things that kind of struck me is everyone's kind of she's in heels, you know, and it's a formal fight and you don't see those as often. People are too casual in their fights.
I like dressing, you know, back in the day, these kids, they don't dress up for their lightsaber fights.
Yeah.
I have to say, what were you thinking making your poor fighter fight in a skirt?
Yeah,
like, that's just mean.
There's a major fashion faux pas here in the very like first sort of opening rounds of this fight. But yeah, I mean, I understand she's a very lovely looking young lady, but you don't have her in heels and a skirt in a parking garage where it's wet. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to say this once. Pick a more flattering camera angle for that moment. You do her a favor. Just, you know.
Apparently, he says in the chat room, apparently it was her choice.
Bet it was her choice.
Yeah. Yeah, really. Look at what she's wearing.
Yeah. anyway.
Yeah.
As far as the choreography goes, first of all, there's not a lot of it, which, as we've...
And that's a bad sell. Like, that punch was nowhere near his head.
Same thing we were talking about earlier, where she smacks and then just watches him. And it's like, well, again, why did you do that?
There's a lot of that in this entry.
Okay.
If she's... Go ahead.
I don't mean to interrupt, but that is bad saber tension. The saber tension of the green saber is on top. There is nothing stopping him. He has the clear track to slice her in half at that moment.
Yeah, even I can see that he could just swing left and take her head off.
When you do saber tension, guys, you really want to have it so that they're in directly opposing dynamic tension. You can't have tension pointing downwards with one saber on top because there's nothing stopping the guy from slicing him in half.
Now, I like stuff like this, although it's waiting a little bit of a while, and I find it hard to believe he doesn't hear the lightsaber until...
That is a problem.
But
it's like, he's over there.
You can't sneak up on someone with a lightsaber.
They're certainly trying a lot of interesting stuff. There's a lot of camera moving up and down. It's very dynamic what they're trying to do with the camera
I
appreciate that.
There's some good filmmaking going on here.
Yeah.
And I think the, you know, the acting is quite nice as well, and...
But
the choreography is probably the weakest link of this in general.
In a movie called The Assassin that features an assassin trying to assassinate someone, I would like the fight choreography to reflect that. As opposed to the pausing, the waiting, the stalking. This isn't the torturer or the mess with your head before I kill you. This is the assassin. So I want to see someone make an honest attempt to assassinate someone.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of, you know, right there. She's just standing there going, oh, what's going on? And this one, we've gotten a lot of them in the past. There aren't as many in this competition. But this one has a problem that I don't like to see in choreography competitions, which is much of the time is spent with one person running from the other.
Yeah.
I prefer to see them engage. And to be fair, again, earlier, Jeff Hibbert's thing had a lot of running from each other, but there was a good amount of engagement.
That worked for me in a way that this does not work.
Yeah.
That, by the way, I will admit, that is a very inventive gag about trying to forcibly remove the light from the saber.
Yeah, I've never seen that. That's
I've never
awesome.
Seen that. That's a very, I want to see that explored. I think that's a strong enough concept where you could have a few gags with it, not just the one.
I'm not sure I like it, but it's a creative idea at least, definitely.
Yeah.
It's something I've never seen before, and that automatically is a lot of points. Because that's very hard to do in any subject matter in any film.
There's kind of
see, right there, kill him.
Just yeah,
right.
You have him. You have him down. You could kill him at that point.
This is one that I feel like they kind of they worked out the moves and they ran through them a couple of times, but they weren't really rehearsed at it,
yeah.
Including the camera, which is kind of chasing them a little bit in a lot of the stuff, and not in a way that is supposed to be that way. I think it's just attempting to keep up, you know. And yeah.
And again, blade tension there. She has her lightsaber up. She has him there. She's clearly trying to assassinate. Nothing is stopping her. Also, I think if you're close enough to force choke someone, or if you're force choking someone, you're close enough to choke them. Don't force choke. Yeah. Just, you know, use the force for something else.
Yeah.
Do your laundry.
Earlier,
list.
She yeah. did like a force tie his shoelaces together move.
She did a force nub shot where she smacked him in the groin. That's cool. You know, that's, you know.
Yeah. There was also a weird moment earlier
totally
that
cool.
we skipped over, but she had him on the ground and she swiped across, and I'm like, she just took his kneecap off, it looked like.
Yeah. Right.
But he gets up and just sprints away. I'm like, that.
Yeah.
The consequences of the actions have to matter.
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
Brian, Trey, the fight?
It covers one thing. Like we've talked about before, I'm a big fan of if there's this situation, I think it's important to have some kind of grounding in terms of doing an identity and situation. And it's important to do that. But in this one, they kind of tried to do it, but it really didn't come across as anything other than very standard action movie cliche lines. And like those, just dropping those in almost cookie cutter style, it doesn't help. I would rather it not exist than just be something as generic as was present here. It has to be something specific and relatable in a sense, as opposed to these kind of lines that nobody in real life ever really says.
Trey?
Sorry.
How do you feel about the dialogue?
I say those lines all the time, but my real life might be different than yours. My life's a little strange. Again, just to spin things in a positive direction. I mean, I think there is evidence of there's some nice moments in here.
Yes.
And there's some nice filmmaking, yes. And there's some nice beats and some nice attempts of staging something in a creative way that may not have been completely successful, but having the idea is clearly there. And I think that the technical side of things can be improved, and then a lot of these. I think because I saw what they were going for more than I saw a successful completion of what they were going for. But having an idea and having learning to execute that idea and make it clear to people who are coming to it cold and don't know you and don't know your friends and don't go, oh look, Christine's in a movie or whatever that actress's name is. I mean, that's one level of things, but it's on the cusp of just look at this again. It's one I would recommend, like take the time and just now look at it as if it was a movie you paid to see, and
yeah.
And does it succeed? And what parts can you honestly say, well, that didn't quite come together, and how can you do it better next time? I've got about 50 bad fight scenes under my belt when I was when I was first starting out, and I don't usually show them to people because they're bad. But
before you met me, no,
yeah, exactly. then I As the saying goes, you have to make all those bad movies to start making the good ones. You have to get those bad ones out of the way. So that's just literally how it is. Draw all your bad drawings first when you're starting out, and then you can draw good drawings from then on.
There's a similar quote. I think it was Bradbury who said it, or Ellison or someone. They were like, "You have 10,000 bad words in you." Before you get to the good
those.
Ones. So write those as fast as you
write
can.
Write those as fast as you can so you can start writing the good stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
So again, I don't want it to come across like we're dumping on this movie. It's there's a lot of hard work here, and it's really hard to do something, and I can see that there was a lot of effort put into it, and I absolutely applaud it for that.
Cool.
And I think take the lesson from it and look at it and make your next one better.
Ryan, can you be even nicer?
Well, I'll just say that I think I mean,
remember
your
beard is intimidating, so you have to be nicer to accommodate for it.
Right, they can't tell in that resolution. I think the two key things to work on here are the choreography itself, in terms of its sort of its cleverness and always thinking about what you're doing, like what we were discussing before about what is the intention of what's happening right now. What happens if the other person's saber just turned off? Would you be killing them or not? I mean, that's you got to be aware of that, and then also. In sort of conjunction with that, the performance and keeping anyone from waiting, don't be doing the hit them in the face and then just sort of hang out and then pursue them, gradually. Think about the intention. Are you trying to kill them or not? Because if you're not, that's a different kind of fight, and that's okay, and you have to do that properly. But,
Darkman?
going off really quick, because I know we want to move on, but going off what Trey said, one way to get immediate distance from what you're doing is to show your work to someone else.
Yes.
Even if it's someone who won't tell you what's wrong with it, just the act of sitting there while they watch it will make you watch it and go, oh God, this is going on too long. Oh, that didn't make any sense at all. And you'll get into your head about it. And they'll be like, oh, it was really nice. But the whole time you're thinking, that doesn't work and that's too long and I got to cut that down. So that's a really good way to be able to weirdly like see through the other person's eyes, even if they're not going to tell you what they're seeing, because you know they're your mom and they're not going to dump on it.
Yeah, just really quick on that. You will be aware of you. It's amazing how self-aware you become when someone else is in the room watching it with you. Something happens, your mind completely shifts, and you're like, oh boy. The only thing I would say is just, you know, I mean, does the title and the plot support your choreography and vice versa? It's an assassin. They're trying to assassinate. The choreography should be about assassinating. If you wanted to make a movie where one person stalks and relentlessly is overpowered, then call it The Stalker. If you call it The Assassinator, while you think of assassination, you think of something quick, efficient, clean. Choreography should reflect that. And, the story and your choreography can go really hand in hand.
I would be very interested, because a lot of these slower fights, we've talked about reasons why they could be slow and how they could be made faster, and we've basically cited practice being one of the best ways to do it. I wonder how many of these sort of slower fights are using something other than carbon fiber, like maybe dowel rods or something
We use dowel rods on Return of Pig 5.
I'm just curious.
That's all. Anyway, Vimeo people, we're on number 10. Hope you're caught up with us. This is Xander versus Moffat. So, here we go.
Oh, okay, Xander versus Moffat. Yes.
Yep. 3... Okay. 2, 1, unpause.
They had a...
Oops.
Uh-oh.
Okay. No, we're fine.
There it
fine.
Is. Oh, no, we're not. No, we're
anyway,
not.
Just keep moving.
Vimeo people, forget it.
Yeah, we'll
move. No, the lag will catch up.
Not going to be quite in sync, but...
Yeah.
Just fast forward for like 2 seconds.
It'll be fine.
Yeah. And there's the SaberCon title. Okay. Yeah, this...
They'll see where we're at.
I am curious. Did they send an email on this one, Teague?
Let me check.
I'm curious to see what they...
While you look into that, I'd like to throw something out there. Okay. For you folks who are making films, especially beginners, and you're going to make some opening titles, and you're just not sure what font to use, or you don't care particularly...
No email for these guys.
Oh, okay. Try Bank Gothic. Very nice, very simple. It's all the rage this decade, and because Impact is really kind of, you know, bumming me out.
Impact is very late 90s.
Bumming me out, yeah.
Very Media 100.
The Impact font is bumming you out.
There, you know, there was okay. There was a time where Chiller and Sand were incredibly popular because it was like sort of the funkiest Mac font in Mac OS 9.2. I'm glad Chiller and Sand kind of went away.
Comic Sans and Papyrus, as the chat room is pointing out, also maybe a little old.
I like that little gag there where he tries to force pull the saber and it doesn't work, so he has to run off to the side.
Although, acknowledge the two shots that are the same shot.
They are. Well, he's supposed to be following him, so it does make sense. I thought it was like a weird line cross thing where they're supposed to be approaching each other and it's the same shot.
It is a little unclear the first time you see it.
Now, these are literally kids, right? I'm not trying to be, you know.
No, they're in college.
Okay.
No, I have no idea.
They look like teenagers.
They're the 15-year-olds. Okay.
I'm going to go 14, 15.
Yeah.
And I made movies when I was 14 and 15 that were much worse than this.
Oh, I did too.
I don't want to start on the wrong foot here.
I'm impressed with him getting up that plastic slide because that's not easy to do.
When you're 14, you're very bendy and you have good traction.
Yeah.
The thing, I mean, you're absolutely right, Teague. The problem is that they're entering into a contest where they're competing against Jedi Pastor and they're competing against some other people. On the one hand, I applaud them for entering on the, and having the wherewithal and staying off the street at this age. But, you know,
they're not doing drugs.
They're not doing drugs, and that's a great thing. But by the same token, I'm not going to judge on a curve. Like I'm going to judge. And this, I'm sorry. Like I'm like
the commercial break is I am not amused.
I'm here to
watch a choreography entry. I'm here to judge a choreography entry against Jedi Pastor and other later on Nate and a bunch of other entries. And so this is not working for me. I'm sure it amused you and that's lots of fun. But if you're going to enter it again, you've got to think that other people are not going to be in on that joke, whatever it is.
Yeah, I just this got you nothing. That didn't make me chuckle. It's too clever by half. It's just focus on your choreography. And I mean, there's not much more I can really say because it's not really choreography. They're very just clearly sort of freestyling it here, with maybe a couple beats planned out.
It has very much the vibe of like when you've sort of made some moves and you don't want to forget them, so you get your buddy or you set it on the tripod and you just record it so you can remember it later and work on it more, except that's what it ends up being here.
Right. And part of it, again, you know, I don't even know what just happened there. The big bang.
But it was lens flare like crazy. Yeah. We got that working.
But again, I factor in the camera
and this,
as
I'm
part
sorry,
of the
makes,
choreography.
It's Wolverine laser claws. What are you talking about, man? Yeah. It's awesome.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
But you know,
and he's Iron Man now too.
It's all on the it's all on tripod, and it's like a lot of people are like, all right, to do a choreography entry, I've got to find a buddy to do it with me. It's like, no, mm-hmm. You got to find two buddies.
Well, like we were saying earlier, the cameraman is as much of a performer as whoever is on screen.
Yeah,
and the camera is as much of a performance and has to be given as much consideration as the on-screen performances.
Absolutely.
So at the very least, you need a warm body behind going, okay, that I can step over here, or I can see this and tell you what's going on behind the camera.
Yeah, I've you know, been involved in one way or another with a lot of fight scene shoots where the cameraman gets just as exhausted as the fighters do, because it's all part of, you know, it's
as
all
it should be.
Yeah.
If not more so, because they're looking around 10, 20, 30 pounds.
I honestly
of gear.
Don't know how he killed him. I honestly really have
no
idea what
confused
happened.
By that. Yeah.
Brian, let me start. I haven't been really bringing these things up because I'm not a judge, but let me put it this way. This is probably going to sound condescending, and I truly don't mean it to. I find this to be adorable because it's exactly the exact same thing I was doing at the exact same period of my life. And not at much of a quality difference. I mean, I was doing exactly this kind of thing. And frankly, I like this entry because it brings me back. And again, I really don't want to sound condescending because I started there and now I work in Hollywood and do visual effects for movies. So you guys, seriously, congratulations for entering and doing your thing and putting together some really funny, cool stuff. And next year, enter again and see how you've progressed, because it's going to be better next year too. Anyway, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, we all start somewhere. We all start very, I mean, technically, you could say that my first ever film was me playing with my action figures while my sister taped it, and it's the same kind of thing. It's just filmmaking starts out as it should, as an extension of playing, and this is what this strikes me as more of. It's just a couple of kids playing, and then we'll set the camera up nearby and record it as well. But that's how it starts. That's how we all started. I know it's how I started. So. It's where you go from here. That's what counts.
Trey, I know you made a lot of little weird
videos
back in the day.
I've got a movie that looks just like this, except my sister is the other character, I swear to God. And it was before lightsabers existed in the public consciousness. So that would be something to bring in. Bring in the Super 8 movie I made when I was probably about that age. It was a superhero movie, so not a Star Wars movie, because we didn't have Star Wars yet. But I was also getting very nostalgic, just like Teague, watching that one. Like, oh, yeah, those are the days. And it just cracks me up that the only real difference is that nowadays you can still have something that's kind of shakily shot and kind of shakily edited and all that. But you can still have awesome moving graphic titles. Yeah. Then you can have no resources at all, but you can have incredible moving graphic titles that, you know, it's fantastic. So even if they didn't have the high ends, you know, the credits is, you know, Ellis Maker and, you know, they didn't have like the good software, but they can have amazing moving titles. We had to do like crayon on cardboard. So you kids today recognize the advantage you have.
I came out the tail end of that. We did an Indiana Jones spoof, and we literally construction paper and silver crayon.
Yeah,
and a guy who was really good at drawing.
I always hated silver crayons, Ryan. They never work. They suck. I hate silver crayons. God, I want to talk about this
because you need silver doesn't work on a white piece of paper. You would have had to.
It's terrible.
That's why we use black.
It's completely ridiculous. Let's move on, Ryan.
The thing I take away from this one is just, you know, it takes a lot of ambition and it takes a lot of effort to actually go out, record, edit, and then put, you know, finish, you know, complete, even just putting in the little contact flashes, which is the extent of most of the effects work on this. Putting that all together for something as long as this is, and that's telling me that these folks are ready to continue and do more and keep improving. This is the first step, and this is the beginning. So, you know, I feel like if I were to try to say one thing for your next entry to really sort of focus on, I mean, there's kind of, you know, every aspect, of course, can be improved, but I would say that at no point in this did I ever feel any real intention in the performance. Like the performance itself is never really taking itself very seriously. There's a lot of sort of demonstration of ideas and stuff like that, but I never really believed any part of it. So spent again, you know, condense, do something shorter and sweeter, and then try to really, really do it upright.
Cool, Dorkman.
Yeah, I think like you guys have been saying, Brian in particular, it feels very much like people at play, and I think they've.
Which is incredibly important, and never ever lose that.
Yeah, absolutely. But you've also at this point, and it's like we said as well. It's good that they took the step to enter it and stuff like that. But that also means they're taking the step from, messing around with their buddies to showing it to people who don't know them and don't necessarily get their sense of humor or their in jokes or whatever. So it's like now you're going out to a wider audience. So it's hard. It's very hard to strike the balance, but you've got to find the balance between making something that you're proud of and making something that entertains people who don't know you.
Right.
You know? Like we've been saying, they're taking the first step, and there's a lot of promise there, and it's just they've got to kind of keep in that direction.
Keep working on it. Yeah.
Let me say something real quick before Eddie goes, just to add on to mine.
Before Eddie destroys everybody.
when I say taking the performance more seriously and stuff, I don't mean to say that it has to be serious. You know, I mean, you guys clearly are you had the comedy commercial in the middle and everything. You guys clearly have a sense of humor about what you're trying to do, and I think that can be a really great thing, and I'd enjoy seeing more of that in a lot of these entries. So that doesn't mean you have to lose your sense of humor about it, but you have to take it seriously in the way of
like Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Sure. It's a funny thing, but they all take it seriously.
Well, yeah. Or an entry that we haven't gone through yet, but there's a very comedic, or one we've seen already too. We've had comedic fights.
Right,
you know, there are comedic approaches, and yet the fights themselves work.
Right.
But comedy is reflected in the choreography.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot to be. It's a weird thing, but with any, they talk about comedians a lot who take comedy very seriously.
Steve
it's like
Martin.
They're funny, but you have to take what you're doing seriously in order for the funny to really work.
And that's a hard balance. It can be very easy to start making a movie for fun, and then by the time you get to editing, you really, really hate life.
It's not fun anymore.
Or beyond that poor, I'm sure Trey can express the sentiment, like, man, this really sucks what I'm doing right now.
Okay.
But you have to keep that sense of fun that started when we all did this stuff, and that, 15, 20 years.
There you go. We got to keep it moving.
Yeah,
sorry. And with that in mind, I have very little add. Congratulations on entering, and I'll see you.
You clearly
next year.
Have a soft spot in your heart for these sort of things because you made Nuts and Menace.
I made Nuts and Menace, which was a
parody. Which is largely autobiographical. Yes, it is.
Not really.
I'm making a joke at your expense.
Nuts and Menace was a critical but sort of like, endearing look at these kind of folks. So, you're on one hand, you're my people.
People like me.
On one hand, you're my people. On the other hand, you're still going to get the spank paddle. But, just keep trying. Just keep trying. And just see you in a year or so and see what you do.
See you in Toledo. All right, let's move on. Number 11, BP Stoyl, Vimeo people. Here we go. 3, 2, 1, on pause.
BP Stoyl. This was an entry.
We'll see. We'll see. Brace yourselves.
I'm very excited.
One of the entries. Yeah, exactly.
There's going to be some things with swords in here.
Oh, okay. Yes, this one. This one is one of the... These have sprung up around all over the place. I mean, New York Jedi.
I know.
Is,
I totally want to go here.
No one, yeah. But yeah, but cool yeah, place. It's just a. From my understanding, it's a club that gets together and does this, plays with lightsabers.
And
which is...
I gotta say that, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but I gotta say these folks are from Buffalo, and that's my wife's hometown. And I was actually in Buffalo, I think right around the time they were filming this. So
is this Buffalo?
This is Buffalo, New York. Nice. This is the Buffalo, New York chapter, yeah. And this is, I guess, a paintball field where they're doing this at.
Little paintball arena. No, I was done talking, pretty much, so.
They're also using Master Replica blades, which is not really a good idea, because if you hit too hard, you can break them, as I unfortunately found
out
in college.
Using force effects makes it feel, when you're there, especially
when you're playing, it's awesome.
If you're going to get together on a weekly basis or however often you do it and doodle around with it, it's absolutely fun and awesome. But in terms of being able to sell choreography that way,
you can't really do it because those blades
will
snap.
They're heavy, number one. They're much heavier than a lot of other props would be. And then, yeah, you'll break the blades if you're not careful.
I think Brian kind of hit it on the head inadvertently, though. He said when you're playing with these, and that's unfortunately, this feels like play. This doesn't feel like choreography to the degree we've seen in some of the other entries, and that's fine. There's nothing really wrong with that. Ultra sabers are not. Anyway, regardless, is that, you know, a lot of sick bashing here. There's no real targeting there. Anticipating the duck.
He's not really selling his, you know, exactly, the
selling, and they're on concrete, so I understand not wanting to take a bump on a concrete. That's fine, but at least, you know, build your choreography around that, you know.
I'm not entirely clear that this is even really choreographed, at least not to a great extent. You know, like you say, it looks like play. It looks like they're going, okay, now I'll go here and now I'll go there, and, you know, they're sparring, it feels like, as opposed to choreography.
And this is there's a film that was an entry, and I'm going to reference the Atom Contest. A couple years ago, because there was a film a couple years ago that I just was totally blown away by. You may remember it. It was called For the Love of the Film, and it was one where if you haven't, you should check it out because it's a really cool example. That sensibility in that one could have maybe benefited. It's about how people are watching Star Wars at midnight show or something, and the film breaks. And the audience just starts spontaneously acting it out because they love the film and they know the film by heart. And just people like, well,
I remember that
it's
one.
It was the winner.
I got all misty. I love that one. Lucas
picked it. And I'm thinking,
that was
like,
a really good one.
It's a case I've been referencing the Robert Rodriguez. It's like, what do I have? It's like, well, I have a bunch of, you know, me and my friends are lightsaber enthusiasts, and we have this really weird space, you know, this funky space that we get together. I think there could have been a much more successful film made if you somehow sort of use that as your setup. Like, we're getting together and we're going to play with our lightsabers and sort of give the audience an excuse to go, oh, I see why this is like this. What you're doing here.
He emailed me and said that this guy is George Lucas. And I didn't realize that until he told me that.
Well, you know,
It's a great idea to play with that.
It's in the credits as well.
I just didn't catch it.
Pivoting off that, you could have done a thing where you know, they have a table. It's like a family reunion. They're all eating, and then they stand up and they do a toast, and then they just bust out into lights.
And they bust out the lights.
And that would have been hysterical.
Or you know, these people are kind of messing around, but then George Lucas comes in and changes the fight up, and it becomes something else. You know, that we are just goofing around. You know, there's ways to use this. You know, if you kind of acknowledge, well, we're not. You know, none of us are skilled martial artists, but we have enthusiasm and we have a bunch of
ultra sabers.
Yeah, and we have all these ultra sabers, and I think there are ways, and you can sort of, in a way that this is sort of, you can see the charm of this. You know that there's a charm to this because clearly these folks are having fun and they enjoy doing this. I think they're taking those elements. You could have made a film that was like more successful without having anyone have to take 6 years of martial arts.
Right.
You know? Right. Yeah. There's ways around it. I mean, you know, we did Nuts and Menace. You know, I've a lot of martial arts experience, but guess what? I used none of it for any of the choreography we did for that because it was just those characters didn't know anything and that was part of the gag. So, you know, choreograph to your strengths. You don't need to be a professional anything to do it. Just think about what you can and can't do.
Yeah.
Brian, how'd you feel about it?
As a choreography, you know, in terms of through the choreography competition lens, I don't think there's much there. Even as somebody who's not well versed as these other guys in choreography, it's pretty plain to tell. But again, as a bunch of people having a lot of fun, it looks like a lot of fun, and I certainly had that fun myself. So
another one of those that makes me go, oh, yeah, I miss my Swiffer handle.
It makes me miss the
Swiffer
times.
Handles rule, by the way. Use those when you're just playing around because they're lighter.
It makes me miss the times where in college we would just go into the auditorium, we'd be building a set for a play or whatever, and we just, you know, screw around and have fun.
Trey?
Yeah, this is, I sort of applaud this film for the subtext of it rather than what's actually on the screen.
Fandom.
Yes, yeah, that I could feel the you know, the fun of it, you know, the fun making it. And that's not inconsiderable. This is obviously, from what we know, it's a group of people who get together and they do this for fun, and I'm sure they love doing this film, and I'm sure they love watching this film, and that's great because that is part of it. And as we keep saying, it's like, well, you're showing out to the greater world and we're judging it on this, you know, higher plane.
Right.
And so of course it's hard to say something about it on that level, but I'm sure it'll play for years, you know, in their group, And that's something. There's something to be said for that.
I think I would like hanging out with these people.
Yeah, I totally would. Yeah, I totally want to hang out in Buffalo, and I want to play paintball in that room because that looks
seriously
awesome,
right.
You know,
I wish my birthday was there.
Right.
Well, I don't ever want to be in Buffalo, but if I
hey,
I wish
it's
my
not your hometown.
I wish my
it's
birthday
mine,
was at the.
My adopted hometown.
I wish my birthday was at the place that Duel of the Dorks takes place at. But we'll get to that in a second. Ryan.
Mm. Oh yeah. Well, oh yeah. Totally. We'll get to that.
Bowling alley and a lounge and
hey, don't spoil
movie
it.
Theater.
Jeez,
oh, it's awesome. Oh yeah. None of these people have seen this yet.
Yeah, so this one is it doesn't exactly make my list in terms of the choreography itself, which is how I'm really looking at it. I mean, yes, it looks like lots of fun, and I would enjoy an afternoon with a lot of these folks, I'm sure. But it's not really placing on my radar as far as the top choreography in this one. I think if you're going to explore the idea, by the way, of having 30 people with lightsabers in a room, I think there's a lot you could do in terms of just sort of this giant everyone against – I don't know, these guys against those guys or everyone in for themselves and just a lot of elaborate sort of, you know, multiple person choreography that is not really touched upon. They kind of they have a room where there are a lot of one person versus one person fights happening and then they all break apart, which is good because you can explore all the different little stories. But, you know, I didn't the performances were I found a little lacking and the choreography itself was very basic. So.
Darkman?
I mean. I'm in Eddie's position now in the sense that I'm like, I don't know what else to say. It looks like a lot of fun, but in terms of judging it against these other entries in the competition, they're not at the level that some of the other entries are at, which places it in a unfair position perhaps, but that's the situation we're in.
Cool. Eddie Doty.
Yes. I want to phrase this.
Buffalo love, Doty.
Yeah, really.
I'm again not Buffalo from Buffalo, represent. But my wife is from there, and we just came back from like 10 days there. But I want to be careful in what I say because I want to encourage this sort of thing. I want to encourage clubs like this to keep doing it. I want you to be honest with yourself that if you're going to be doing things like this, play to your strengths. You know, hide your weaknesses, accentuate your strengths, and be creative with your storytelling. Be creative with how you want to. Put this together. I think there is something really cool that you guys can do. I think it's coming down the line, and you know, that's about it. Go Sabres, go Bills. So,
oh,
well played.
So the Buffalo Sabres, you know, so yeah, that's the hockey team. That's the hockey
no
team.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So there, that makes perfect sense.
How convenient.
Yeah.
All right, shall we move on, gentlemen? By the way, we just reached the 2 hour mark. We have three left to go.
12, 13, 14.
Almost done.
Okay.
Go ahead and load up, Vimeo people. Duel of the Dorks. Here we go. 3, 2, 1, unpause. And we're off. There it is. He color corrected the logo, disqualified.
Oh, Jesus. That is totally unacceptable.
I actually do want to say I wish the logo had been more separation because it's all silver and it makes it a little hard to read. But
nah.
I think this is a film that actually...
It's not part of the choreography, Dorkman.
No, disqualified.
I think this is a film that most successfully uses the framing of a plot in
yes.
terms of like a
yeah.
setup for the context of the fight, and that actually is done so in a way where it affects the fight and the
right,
way that
right.
the choreography is and how it's used.
Again, the situation, the decision about the situation and the motivation determines the choreography and the other decisions downstream.
Yeah.
And done very creatively and imaginatively.
I'm a little confused as to why, like, she calls them nerds, they correct her to geeks, and it's called Duel of the Dorks. So I don't quite understand what's going on there. But
that's the joke!
Yeah.
I also don't understand the posters.
Yeah, well, no, they work in a movie theater, so they get posters to put up. I don't understand
they're
robbing the theater of the,
of the posters.
Have you ever worked at a movie theater?
I have. You cannot do that.
Yeah, you do that after.
After the movies
the
are
movies,
out of the
yeah.
theater, yeah.
Now, and by the way... This,
oh, she calls you dorks? All right. Fine.
This place that's a movie theater / billiard hall / bowling alley /...
Which is awesome.
Pizza. I really want to come party there.
I would yes. live there.
Yeah,
I would
yeah.
live in this building.
I like how some of the first things that happen here are just destruction and chopping through,
yeah.
through bars and stuff.
We'll just say right up front that, you know, this is also, I think, an extremely well-made project and,
oh, yeah.
and it's only
well
second to Jedi Pastors in terms of the equipment that they probably had available to shoot it with.
Yeah.
Because if they'd had a Steadicam and so on, I mean, you can see that this is pretty darn good for what is probably not very sophisticated equipment. But the filmmaking eye is absolutely at work here. And
I agree.
The sensibility is at play and it's very strong. One quick thing there when he does the little push that he did back there. This is kind of a sort of global note, but they do this a lot in this particular entry, and it's strictly from choreography perspective because we've said a lot of very kind things. But from choreography, if you're whacking each other with swords and then you pivot from that into a sort of not very realistic or effective looking push or shove or grab, it really kind of kills your momentum that you build through the fight. So be very judicious with how you use that. And if you are going to use that, really take the opportunity to sell it well. That was also
I love that shot where he flips it, because afterwards you can see him like trying not to crack up. He's like, oh shit, I did that. That was so awesome. Oh my God.
Did we get it?
Did we get it? Yes.
Hitting the bricks there is a great
That's a beauty effect. Yeah, that was a really nice one.
And the sound work actually on it. The sound in general in this is actually quite good for the whole thing as well. Obviously, that's not part of the choreography, but
we're a little for such a big amount of room there. They're really tight on each other, and the camera was really claustrophobic there. So I would just say, you know, be aware of like you can open this up a bit. You can
that would have been an awesome opportunity for a really wide shot of them on those.
Yeah,
lanes.
Exactly.
Yeah, that would have been really a fun thing.
This is such an amazing location you guys have. Kick the camera out a little bit. We're very TV right now. We're very tightly framed, and we don't need to be. I think if you would have opened this up a little bit, we really could have seen some really cool movement there.
Right there, just passing, was an example of the situation dictating the choreography, where he realizes that what he actually wants is the other lightsaber.
Yeah.
He doesn't give a crap about the one that's in his hand, so he tosses it away.
Yeah.
And the other guy doesn't care either, so he uses it to throw it.
Yeah.
That's an excellent example of unique circumstances and a unique idea determining choreography.
It's a nice touch.
Yeah.
It depends on you remembering the context, though, because it's very quickly easy to forget that they're just, they're fighting with lightsabers.
First you're like,
and the downside of remembering that is that then you go, oh, yeah, but then the poster wouldn't fit.
Yeah, the poster wouldn't fit in here, I feel like, but that's all right. It's a nice shot.
Yeah, the fact that they were able to do all that is very cool.
Yeah, that's one thing that I like about this one is, again, it depending on how much you consider, you know, where you're going and using your location as part of the choreography, which I think, you know, it is at least in part. This is fun because if you had access to a bowling
that's
alley
nice.
To do a
that's
lightsaber
nice.
Fight there, this is what you'd do. You'd go back and you'd be crawling around through the thing and all that. Yeah, that was my favorite part of the choreography in this, I think, actually. The jumping up out of the door there.
And that is very clever.
I love this bit.
Yeah, I love when people, like we said before, use the properties of a lightsaber for tension or for part of the choreography or whatever. So that's very cool little bit.
Now, I got an email from Nate, who made this one, saying they had a lot of weird troubles getting this one made because I thought they were going to make two at once originally, and then they didn't. And then I guess they had to reshoot the stuff in the lounge. And in his email, he says, if I could have done anything differently, I would have spent more time on the choreography at the end, because while the music is really getting awesome, and they're kind of crawling over each other, he doesn't feel as strongly about the choreography there.
I actually like that move. They cut around it very well to make it work. The back bridge. That's a cool move.
That was good. I would like to see that actually. I don't know if they had to do that assisted, but I would like to have seen that a little bit wider as well.
Yeah. I would have wanted to see that light turn off, but I understand why they didn't do it that way.
There's the intensity is good, the energy is good, the action is good. Some of the targeting is a bit off.
You guys get some shout outs to you guys in there?
RVD was tracked into the screen there.
And I did see that you guys played with the oil on the lanes. That was cool. I noticed the sliding. I think you could have done more with that. I think you could have had like an inner lane fight. You probably could have opened that up a bit.
Oh my God.
Slipping
around on it?
Yeah, that would have been a lot of fun. But I think
Of bloopers.
But this thing is very fun. There's a great energy to it. I'm really enjoying it. I would only say that some of the targeting, and actually it's stronger here. It's actually really strong in this sequence, the fighting. But early when we started off, there's a bit more stick bashing, and there's a bit more, it took a while to really warm up the fight aspect of this.
There we go, to remind us what's going on.
And that's
here.
Great. That's great. Yeah.
It might have been helpful to have maybe one or at most two more instances of that throughout the fight. Just very quick little, like, remember cardboard tubes.
And he says that's his previous Alex versus Nate on the screen.
I actually like the schoolyard headlock and the scarfold there. I like that. I like how the fight devolves into this.
You can tell how much fun they're having, too, just looking at them. They're trying not to laugh, basically.
I also love this handoff. It's very simple. It's practical, but it's very nice.
I actually really like the next shot. It's just very well executed. Yeah. Kind of the boom down to follow them up, but keeps her more or less in frame right there.
The guy looks. He reminds me of a very non-British young Simon Pegg.
Which
on
one?
The left.
On the left.
On the left. Yeah. I think he's got a future as a Simon Pegg impersonator. So this is just an extremely ambitious film, and you know, not only that, it's every freaking frame of Sabres is rotoed. So clearly, a lot of planning and a lot of forethought went into this, and a lot of effort, and it absolutely shows.
I actually really like this reveal because I was like, as soon as she started taking it out, I'm like, what can you put there to
what's
justify?
The MacGuffin? What is the MacGuffin?
How are you going to justify it? And then it's you know, an ad for their next thing. I'm like, okay, yes, perfect. That works.
Brian, how do you feel about that one? I mean, you've been spending more time on the filmmaking and the movie of it. That one's a strong entry.
That's probably my favorite in terms of what was the most entertaining short film to watch. And I love the fact that there was an actual human situation and motivation involved, and one that I cared about. Like, just in the very beginning, it's very simple, but I cared about it. So the writing in the beginning was a little like, it was a little on the scale of, hey, look how clever I am being my writing, as opposed to just having people talk.
I love it. I like the beginning part.
Your mileage may vary, but for me, it was a little too cute for its own sake. But that's a minor nitpick in the grand scheme of just how entertaining and how engaging it was.
Trash Dukes.
Yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and spill the beans. Yeah, one of my top three, that baby right there. Very nice. And I can't think of anything I haven't already said. I think I think it's just a fine piece of work all the way through. If we're going to talk about choreography, obviously I pass that off to the rest of them. But I have to say that I think that was one of the most well rounded in terms of hitting on all cylinders of the entries we have this year.
Again, I'm not a judge, but it's my favorite one to watch at this point.
Beautiful work,
and I think that's another one that will have a life on YouTube definitely. Ryan Weber?
I agree exactly with what everyone just said. It's pretty outstanding as just a little film and as a fight, and it's easy and it's fun to watch, definitely. Very polished in every regard. From the choreography standpoint itself, I think it had a lot of fun. It does explore cool little ideas and a nice, you know, having fun with the environment. Obviously we threw out a few ideas just off the top of our heads of things that it could have been fun to continue exploring, but I think this one does more than most in terms of having fun with where you are. And the only thing about it is that it's doing all that stuff, which is great, and making it work as a film, which is awesome, but there's actually, as far as Sabre on Sabre choreography, there isn't a whole ton in here, really.
Yeah.
What's there is good. It's working. But for me, again, in our personal top 1, 2, and 3, I have this one as my number 3.
Cool. Michael Dorkman, Scott.
Yeah. Same thing everyone said. It's certainly one of the more polished. I can't – that's a balance between Jedi Pastor and this one, I think, in terms of the polish of as a film coming together, choreography, what's there is good, but I wish there was more there. Yes, I also made this my number 3 because I think it's a very solid entry and certainly the one of the slickest productions. Absolutely.
Cool. Edward Doty.
In a very, very strong piece. Unfortunately, the choreography was the least strong of the entire thing. With that said, that's not saying the choreography was bad in any way. I'm just saying
the outstanding effects and the cool production wasn't
as polished as the rest of it. And I think there's a little bit of equity, you know, from it. If that's a great short film, that will have a wonderful life on YouTube. So I'm not critiquing the film. I just think if entering from the perspective of a lightsaber choreography contest, there's a bit of equity displacement as far as like what you spent time on, and you spent more time on the writing, the location, the blocking, all this other stuff, and the effects, the choreography at times wasn't as consistently strong all the way through. With all of that said, it looks great, and I definitely want to see the rest of it.
So. I do want to see that I also really like the energy in this one. Choreography, how much choreography or not aside, I do like the energy a lot.
I agree too, and that's the thing is that it's regardless of the complexity or sophistication of the choreography itself. It's not lacking in the energy department. They're really kind of having fun going.
They go for it.
Performance wise, it's there. Yeah, there's like I said, there's just a couple things that just need to be unlocked in order to really open up the potential of a lot of it.
So. Cool. Shall we move on? Vimeo people, we're on number 13. That is Whiteley 79. Shall we do this, gentlemen?
Yes, we
Three,
shall.
Let's 2, do it. 1, unpause. Again, with my long intro.
Don't like it.
You blew it.
My bad. Sorry, people are syncing this up later.
Black screen, bad. Hulk smash.
Love it.
Yes. I will say I'll just I'm not gonna bury the lead.
You're just going to say something now, aren't you?
This is my favorite. This is my number one.
All right.
Absolutely love this one. I'm just gonna say it right up front.
Fair enough.
The main critique I have is I don't like the music. The music, because it's so familiar, it uses stuff from Empire and stuff like that, and I'm always like, I know where that comes from in that movie, and I'm distracted by that.
Because
fact.
I'm thinking about that movie as opposed to yours.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, right.
But when getting past that, this has a lot to offer here. You go ahead. I'll have more to say. But
I love the fact that they use a lot of Jedi tropes here, but it is a logical use of the tropes. They start off at range, so obviously he's going to throw Sith lightning at him. So then he ignites the saber. Now they're going to do the force pushes. That, by the way, the force push on the wall is awesome. Then after a while of doing the force push, then they realize, okay, now we're in a saber fight. That is what I talk about when I talk about a thought and a progression of move selection. And that's great. A kick.
They put more thought into how that would go than George Lucas did for Attack of the Clones.
You're absolutely right.
George Lucas got it backwards.
You're absolutely right.
And you can tell from this stuff right here already, the energy is just off the scale.
And targeting, they are aiming. They're incorporating the force powers perfectly. Not at inopportune times. They don't get really squared up and then try to do a force choke when they're inches away from each other's face. No, when they're that close, he's going to try to use the giant laser sword to kill him.
Yeah.
And again, like really,
also,
really clever ordering of it.
Throwing the box using the force throw was one of the more convincing times I've ever seen that effect done.
Right.
I really believed that was just picked up through telekinesis.
Yeah.
Where you most of them are going, oh, that was a pretty decent effect.
This is a fun cheat. I mean, you can tell what's going on, but it sells it well enough to make sense. But I want to say that these guys this team has entered consistently the last 4 years, and each time they've gotten better and better. Like the first time, you could always see potential in the performances because they've always been very solid with choreography ideas and stuff, but it never quite gelled before. But each time they've improved, and I think this time it's finally like, yes, this is what I wanted to see you guys do because this is what I could tell you were capable
of. It goes back to what we were saying earlier where, you know, you just had to keep – you're going to make, you know, not great stuff. You're going to make a lot of mistakes in the beginning and you have to just keep working at it until you build up the experience.
Yeah, but in each time they pull out the sabers, the energy is there and they're doing something new each time. They're consistently trying to kill each other and you never get a sense of it's just left, right, up, down, all that stuff.
Right.
It's always the targeting, like you say.
Exactly. The intention is there. The targeting is there. When they do get squared up and they swing, they increase the rate of their swings because that's realistic. When you get really close and you just throw, that's what's going to happen. And yet they transition out of it. They don't stay too long in one sort of setup. They don't stay too long in one sort of gag. This, by the way, and I've gone on and on about it to everybody else, this where he Jedi mind tricks the guy to run over his opponent is absolutely brilliant.
It's a great idea, although in canon you have to actually say something to Jedi mind trick someone.
Enough,
so.
But that is the hotness as far as I'm concerned. The guy's like, oh my god, I'm getting out of here.
Yeah.
I love that. I mean, just, you know, the move selection, it's – and everything is done very casually. Like when he does the force grab, a lot of guys spend a lot of time really overselling it. He just casually reaches out, grabs it.
Honestly,
it just needs that.
This reminds me a lot of Kung Fu Hustle. That
it does. Yeah. It has that kind of vibe.
No, honestly, a lot of it, especially in this sequence here, a lot of the way they're selling their performances is very silent movie, very Keystone Cops and Buster Keaton, stuff like that. Especially the bit coming up with the drainage tube, which I love this bit here.
Just
this is very well sold. And again, across a cut, they've changed the way that they're doing the gag, but it feels consistent.
It's very Buster Keaton.
But
this is every.
And this hurts.
Oh, that sucks.
That really stinks.
There is a logical progression to the types of moves that they're doing. So now they're unarmed. So yeah, the bad guy is just going to tackle and do some ground and pound.
Yeah.
One thing really quick, from a jiu-jitsu perspective, if you're going to take mounted position, don't put the knees on the biceps like that. Like sit it down a little bit further. That's just my own very nitpicky little thing.
In case you were thinking of putting a guy on the ground and punching him in the face while standing on him.
Well, they did.
Good advice before your next fight.
Again, more thinking through, they're like, well, they can do lightning, and, you know, so I think that's great. I didn't see that coming. It's so much inventive stuff here.
It's like we talk about commentaries. It's like the surprising it obvious.
Yes.
As soon as it happens, you go, of course, I didn't think of that, but I should have.
And
there's actual legitimate foreshadowing in this, which is great.
That kick he did, we had him on the ground, that was the exact right angle you wanted to have for that sort of arcing kick to get him off of there. If you had chosen a different angle, it wouldn't have sold. But from that angle, it looked absolutely legit, and he sold it very well.
They're selling all of this very well as well.
It's a good selection of moves, too. You know, a couple of the blocks are a little clunky, but the by and large, this unarmed sequence really, really works for me. I think you could have maybe shortened it a bit, but I really smart progression of moves. I think this is the like the smartest choreography in terms of how every move progresses, and they have the performers have intensity to match.
I'm the least interested in choreography in the room. Okay, second least interested in choreography. And this movie isn't quite as slickly made as some of the others. I mean, in terms of a technical level, but you know the camera angles are there and the intention is there, and I'm okay with a garage band look to a movie if the movie itself is good and well made and supports it. And this is just two guys having a street brawl
amazing.
Yeah. Bonus props for a room full of effects artists. We're all kind of going, I wonder how they did
that happen?
There's a lot of ways you could have done that, but I can't tell which one it was. But you know, this is phenomenally well made. And even though I can't, you know, name, oh, that was a wushu, whatever.
Yeah, look,
it's
I'm
like this the sheer gag per minute ratio of the creative thoughts of all the different ways to explore how two guys could have this fight. It just never flags. It never stops. And it goes on for an amazingly long time and holds my interest the whole time. And I don't like fights.
So,
this is an amazing, amazing piece
of work. Yeah, despite being the longest one, it's the easiest to watch in terms of keeping your attention, I think.
Really quick semantical argument here. Laszlo just said it was KZ fighting method there. KZ fighting method is the alleged style that the guys who do the choreography for Batman and Dark Knight do.
Yeah.
For the record, Laszlo, KZ fighting method is a pretty basic ripoff of some Penchak's Lot and a little bit of JKD. So if you're saying, oh, it's KZ fighting method there. No, it's other styles that have the same, that they're drawing the same sort of influence from. It's not KZ fighting method is just, it's not exactly what you're thinking it is.
Here we go back in, I mean and it's another thing where each time it feels fresh, you know. I'm like, oh, back into sabers. I'm like, no, wait, they did sabers before, but I don't feel like I'm over the sabers yet, you know. There's a lot going on, that different.
And they've changed location. Instead of being in a tight corridor, now they're in an open space, and they can try some different moves and different things.
I like the little face Laszlo made in the chat.
Sorry about that. I wasn't trying to scold you, dude. I'm just saying, like, it's there. That is a very important distinction to make. These guys don't study KZ. They're doing some stuff that is similar to them.
Yeah. I love you like that move where he goes under the leg.
He checks the leg and then blocks the saber staff with the saber and then spins around. That's, you know, giving your back in a fight is like the last thing you ever really want to do. But these guys, there's a logical reason that when they do, how they get out of it.
Yeah, it's a good. They have pretty good continuity in terms of the time of day too,
it's like
which
been
is very impressive.
All day and now the sun's going down. I love that.
It should start snowing.
Yeah,
which I would actually be curious to know how many days it took them to film the Magic Hour stuff. Because when you shoot something in Magic Hour, you really only have like half an hour of usable Magic Hour time.
I like the drawback of the... I kind of like that for some reason. And this is a great build to it. We've learned so much about these guys as characters through how they fight.
Yeah.
You know?
The Magic Hour stuff is all one day, he says.
That's
which is impressive.
Phenomenal.
That's very impressive. Had to work fast. Well,
yeah, that's how it goes.
You made the most of your time, sir.
Well, I mean, and that says a lot for the fighters too, to be able to get this, you know, this quality level, having to work obviously that quickly. I love this little reaction here. It's a lot of little, a lot of little things that really make this fun to watch.
I personally like it's a very straight homage to Return of the Jedi, but I personally like that a lot. I would much rather them rip that off than Phantom Menace, because that's a better duel, because there's the emotion and there's an intensity to it.
I agree, but all things considered, I'd rather not see explicit choreography ripped off.
Right, I agree. I do want to say that this, you know, it says a lot about how I was feeling about this, because I was really, at this point, I'm like, all right, I know that guy is going to win because he's being so beat down, but I don't know how.
Surprising,
and I was so, I was very, very intrigued. I was like, I'm really interested to see how they do this, because they've been so clever throughout. I'm like, this is obviously going to be clever, but I don't know what he's going to do. And then
does
it.
Already
given
me I know they've given me the information. I just don't know what it is.
Exactly.
Yet.
And then they do, and I'm like, fucking, of course.
Of course it was.
Wonderfully done.
And it's the steam. It's from the
water.
Yeah,
never seen that before.
Nope.
That's outstanding.
And foreshadowed earlier when he got splashed.
When he got splashed with water, there was steam there, so it kind of is a nice little touch to hint at it.
Which is, again, like what we were talking about, using sabers in a way you couldn't use swords. This is a lightsaber fight, you know?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's pretty much over now. We should say something about the length, because this was another one that was too long, quote-unquote, but it was still allowed in. They probably could have cut out the hand-to-hand sequence if they wanted to get it down to running time. I would have been disappointed if they had. Well, I suppose I wouldn't, because I wouldn't know what I was missing. But
right.
But knowing what's there, it would have been unfortunate if they had. I'm glad this was allowed in the competition. That being said, everyone seems to enjoy and appreciate it, but there have been controversies in the past over things like this. So I just want to say, as I said, this was my favorite, and I don't think it's unfair for it to be in because of its length, because if you cut anything out, the rest of it would still work.
Right.
If you cut it down to contest length, that wouldn't have changed anything about the inventiveness or the energy or the choreography.
I agree. I feel like you could take any 2 minutes out of this, and you'd still have something.
Yeah, still have
tremendously
a quality
strong.
Effort.
Yeah,
I don't know, the reason for the length requirement or anything like that. I have no opinion on whether or not it should have been allowed in at this length. I think I would have gone the other way. It's like if you want to enforce that kind of rule, it's like it's a good filmmaking rule. It's like the audience doesn't know what you took out,
right?
And so just fine. You got to get 2 minutes out of it. If you're working at the level I'm at, I've got a movie that has to be 85 minutes long, and I've been killing myself all week because it has to be 85 minutes long, and I have no recourse. It has to be what it has to be. So, man, I don't know. If I was more involved in the run up next year, I might be a little more stringent about the running time, because that's the real world. Is the rule is the rule, and that's the rule. But that in no way has anything to do with that I don't love this film and think it's an amazing piece of work. That's
Brian,
and it could have been shorter and been just as good.
No, I love this one. This is in my top three. In terms of choreography, blah blah, broken record, but just in terms of how it engaged me and kept my interest, and the imagination clearly involved, and how they very clearly sat down and said, okay, if this was a real situation, what are all the possibilities? And methodically said, okay, it would be this, there would be this, and really explored each idea and each possibility to its full extent, and then found a way to demonstrate that. And you can very clearly see that work. And it has actual foreshadowing, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Well, not only that, but there's a little touch at the end there. It's called Rivals. They're rivals. After he kills the guy, he looks at the saber, throws it in the river. He doesn't need it anymore. That's a conclusion to the story.
That's a character moment that says something about that character that we otherwise don't know, but it works.
Ryan, you haven't chimed in very much on this one. What are your thoughts?
No, it's great. It's outstanding. And one thing to acknowledge is that a lot of times we have saber fights where they change up the style, and it's kind of like, okay, well, now they both lose their sabers, and it's like a hand-to-hand thing, and then this guy's got one, and the other guy's kind of evading, and now they're using force powers against each other, and then they jump onto this thin thing, and then it's like, and oftentimes they'll kind of, since they're demonstrating so much, they'll also expose what they're weak at, and it's kind of like, okay, well, they did a hand-to-hand fight, but it wasn't as good as their saber moves and stuff, but you can tell they just wanted to try to add some variance to the type of fighting. And this one has none of that problem. They go through all kinds, a whole range of ways to fight here, from the very beginning where it's force powers to the hand-to-hand to the saber fighting itself, and everything is just absolutely strong all around, and it's a lot of great ideas explored, a lot of great little gags. I mean, it's top to bottom, it's full of excellent stuff.
Dorkman?
Yeah, I mean, as we discussed before, it's not the slickest produced one in the competition. I think if this had the same visual kind of polish as Nate's did or Jedi Pastors did, it'd be just unstoppable, basically. But in terms of inventiveness of choreography and performance and intensity and all of that, I really think that from this point forward, this is the one to beat.
Yeah.
Eddie Doty.
I'm a sucker for fights that tell stories. I'm a sucker for fights that physically are impressive, make a logical sense and moveset, have clear intention, where you believe at every moment that these two guys are trying to do what they're making out to do. And with that said, this one succeeds very, very well at it. I like the passage of a time. I actually like the length of it. I really, you know, if there was no controversy about the time constraint, I wouldn't take a whole lot out of it. I think the hand-to-hand you could probably shave a little bit down, and then a little bit of the aftermath, and definitely the titles you probably trim. But honestly, the length does not bother me. It did not feel like an 11-minute entry. Yeah. It you're engaged the entire time. And yeah, cinematography aside, definitely you might want to polish that up for next entry. But this, it's a remarkable feat you guys did and the amount of time you did it.
Yep.
Great. Vimeo people, let's move on. It's our last one. Number 14, Konstantin Razumnovs.
Who I swear to God is like a bad guy in Castlevania.
or a composer or something.
Yeah. Didn't Bond fight him at one point?
All right.
Shall we do this, gentlemen?
Let's do this.
Let's do it.
Trey took my joke.
Mouse on the play button. 3, 2, 1. Unpause.
You have to be faster than that, Mr.
This
Bond.
This is our another one of our international entries. This one's from Russia.
Yeah. This is a handsome entry. I think it's great looking, and the location, especially the one at the end, awesome.
And I wonder if this is the Soviet equivalent of, oh, you didn't go to those ruins again, did you? Oh, my God, I'm so sick of seeing those. Everyone shoots at those ruins.
You didn't go.
Why?
You didn't go to the Stalin Railroad,
exactly.
Did you?
It's their cliche.
Really, really quick, this isn't going to affect my voting, but I really like the costume design on this. I really like how the costumes look. I like, and both performers sell it well, but the costumes I really, really like for some reason. With that said, this one really intrigues me on a lot of ways. This one has a magic bean to it with this time travel device that's going to kind of take him across. I really like how this one plays out.
You think it's time travel? I always read it as teleportation.
I'm sorry, teleportation. You're right, teleportation. I got my semantics involved. Now, the choreography kind of starts a little rough there because they're doing basically two lower quadrant hits repeated after a while. But we start to warm up here, and you could tell how both have like some stage combat experience because they have a real grace to their movements, which I like a lot.
And they're not afraid to, like we just saw, they're not afraid to do a nice solid tumble and stuff like that. Which,
they take
which
bumps.
Which helps sell. I don't necessarily think the choreography is the best. It's fairly straightforward, like you said, stage combat type of stuff. But in terms of selling that fairly basic choreography, they certainly do the best job.
That's what I was going to say. It's all about selling, and these guys really do it. I mean, later, especially toward the end when they're in that small grassy area, and there's some literal left, right, up, down type of stuff, but it's so smooth, and they're so into it, and they're so committed to it, and it's wham, 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 and it worked. I mean, they're really making that work, and I think it's a great example of how the energy and the performance that you put into it can make even the super most cliched of all choreography work.
And I very much appreciate the color palette change as he jumps through the portal, because I really like that, because that actually helps sell the idea of it.
Yeah.
And that's, again, not a choreography note, but just a general filmmaking note. The portal, I got to say, I'm not a VFX guru like a lot of these other guys are, but I like the portal. I like the way it looks. I don't know. It dissolved out. It's just a basic 10-frame fade out. But and they're squared up here, but they don't stay that way for too long. This one has a style kind of unto itself that I appreciate. I like this really sort of depressing, abandoned hotel that they're in. I got to say, for folks in Russia, if you're out there and you're listening, make more fan films, because this is pretty.
This is actually
looking.
The
I
Ukraine.
I thought you were
going
to say don't jump.
Ukraine, yeah. Former Soviet Union.
Don't jump.
Yeah.
Well, you said it was a depressing, abandoned hotel.
Yeah, don't kill yourselves.
And that's what they... That's what they responded. They go, no, that's my house. That's my answer to them.
That's Uncle Dimitri's
estate.
Estate. Yeah.
He's very rich. Yeah, no, it's there's something to be said for, like, just that this clearly is just some locations that we're just not used to seeing automatically makes it more interesting to look at. Like,
right.
Oh, where is that? That's really cool. What is that?
I do like the wrist grab sequence. The traditional jiu-jitsu styles were created back in the day by samurais on what to do if somebody grabs their sword. Because, I mean, if somebody grabs your wrist, you need to be able to lock them up pretty quickly so you can kill them with a saber. So I like the idea of when they do progress to a hand-to-hand sequence, it's all about controlling the blade hand. So I appreciate that, and I appreciate their use of space, and their range and their timing is very good. There's a couple anticipated shots, but... And this segment here I like a lot too, actually.
It's great energy.
Yeah, really good energy.
It's very flashy. Like, there's a lot of, like, you know, they're both doing spins and you know, things like that. That, like, you know, if you really break it down, look at it, you're like, yeah, well, you technically shouldn't be doing that for no real reason. But they pull it off because they're both just doing it so quickly and in such a committed fashion that it plays really well.
Yeah.
You guys were talking about this last night when we were reviewing them one last time before the show. And I want to understand this a little bit better, and I want everyone else to as well. You make a distinction for this one in terms of the fighting. Now, I watch this, and I see good-looking, fast, well-rehearsed fights. But you guys find some sort of a distinction between the quality of choreography between this and, say, Whiteley's entry. What's the nature of the difference?
This is much, again, if you compare this to, say, the first one where we were talking about how fairly simple the choreography is, if you had two people just step through it, this one is almost identical to that one. It's just that the energy in this one and the way they sell it, the follow through and their level of comfort with their own bodies,
it's very swashbuckling.
Is very different. They are much better at selling the moves, but the choreography itself is still very simple.
It's like the difference between writing and acting. The quality of the words on the page can be on a sliding scale, but the entirely different scale is how committed the actors are to whatever. Like, you can have a James Cameron movie where the lines are not that great, but somehow, you know, he always gets his actors to really commit to it.
Not an Avatar.
Well, in my mind, I'll just say this, this is in my top three. The reason why I say that is because this one and Whiteley's actually have the best physical performance.
Sure.
And for me, that does matter because I think you need to have choreography that needs to be physically produced. You have to be able to physically perform the choreography you do. And these guys struck a really good balance with choreography that they can do and that they could physically not just barely do, but really sell and accentuate and bringing the best out of the choreography.
All right. We have watched 14 lightsaber entries. I want to spend one more time around the room. Thoughts about the entries this year, the crop as a whole, and also any observations and things like that and how you feel it all went. For myself, again, not a judge, this was a strong contest. There was a lot of really good entries in this, and also, you know, there's always a few that people are like, I made a lightsaber fight, and you're like, cool. And then there's always someone like Jedi Pastor or Nate or Whiteley or the Russian guy at the end here who are just like, damn, that was cool. Well played, y'all.
Yeah.
And for the most part, this has been a fun one for me. Have you guys noticed any trends this year or anything like that? Ryan, anything interesting? Ryan?
Like I was saying earlier, I noticed that a lot of people are getting really sort of interactive with their environment and using it in more aware ways.
Cutting up on it and stuff?
Yeah, and destruction. Yeah, leaving scorch marks and stuff. And
breaking bowls in certain instances.
Breaking bowls, sure.
Breaking bowls.
In the chat room, someone's like, sparks. Lots of sparks.
Oh, yeah, lots of sparks.
tons of sparks.
I'll throw out there as a little advice, though. Well, the big key to making the sparks work is you cut out the person when they're in front of the sparks. So you have the depth. You set it behind things and you know, so it's not just a static thing that you just put on top of your shot.
And also find smaller bursts of sparks as opposed to shrinking down the giant sparks, because you can tell that they feel very shrunk down. Just as a, you know,
how are you feeling about the fights this year?
The fights really, you know, good. The things I was impressed by, I was very impressed by. The things that I maybe wasn't as much impressed by, I think they will benefit from being in this contest with those others and see, okay, this is what people are doing, this is what people are capable of.
And then do it again.
Yeah, and one thing I've noticed is I really want to see people being creative. It's a lightsaber, yes, but being creative with the kinds of lightsabers, like with the Naginata lightsaber that we saw and using...
Or Whiteley dunking it in the water.
Finding creative uses for the weapons and really opening up the potential for a lightsaber fight beyond what a certain meat-bearded filmmaker ever did. And I think that's truly the lasting legacy of Star Wars is things like that, where people taking the material and doing things that you never really expected to do with it. And I in terms of fight choreography, I'd like to see even more. I'd like to see people keep pushing in that direction.
Cool.
I'm glad to see it go, because there were a couple of years in there where it felt like it wasn't going anywhere. It felt very much like people were like, oh, yeah, I put this together yesterday, and, you know, I didn't have a lot of time. It's like, yes, you did. You had 6 months, but you just decided to put it together yesterday, and it's 10 minutes long, and you're wasting my time, you know? But But this time, I think the level of entries, by and large, is this is the best showing that, that the competition has ever had. This was a very tough one for us to really kind of make our choices.
Yeah, some real time, and there's a legitimate debate amongst us. Yep. You know.
Yeah. So I was very pleased at the level of a lot of the stuff going on this year.
Ryan, any thoughts? Oh, you already had thoughts with the destruction.
I already
had
some thoughts. Yeah, well, yeah, yeah, but
I'm sure he has more thoughts.
Well, in general, as we're just speaking to just the quality of the entries in general this year, I think we've got some really strong stuff. I agree with what Mike said. I think that, I mean, as far as I can recall back, I mean, I think this is the strongest year that we've had, and it's fun. It makes me smile to know that we're progressing into a world where it's becoming easier and easier and more and more affordable to get your hands on cameras and stuff that can really make your stuff look good. I mean, Nate's looks like a movie, you know? And we're going to see more and more of that as we go. And I think that's gonna also just sort of bring to a head the part where, you know, all right, everyone has the capacity to make, like,
it starts weeding them out.
Yeah, it's going to come down to your ability to shoot it the way that you should shoot it and light it the way you should light it and all that things. And again, these are all technical aspects that are not necessarily having an impact on, you know, it's a lightsaber choreography competition, and we all put thought into sort of our decisions as far as evaluating it based on that fairly strictly. And the other stuff, of course, you know, it impacts the way that you view a film in your impression of it in general, but we're trying to separate that. But I'm just saying that it's really fun that we're moving into a world where these are going to just sort of keep looking better and better, you know.
Brian?
And,
well, we did have a conscious effort of let's focus on the choreography, but ultimately when you get down to it, you cannot separate any of the various aspects from filmmaking from one another wholly. So, you know, ultimately it comes down to the fact that there was foreshadowing in this one, that it was properly constructed in this way, and that there is an arc, and that you can tell there is an idea that was fully fleshed
out. The grammar
out.
Of filmmaking is there for a reason.
Right, and the grammar of filmmaking exists, you know, to serve the function of telling a story, and choreography is just one part of telling a story. So I as somebody who is not, you know, really especially interested in choreography or lightsabers, really, to be honest, the fact that there were several in here that held my interest as stories, as mini short films, was immensely gratifying and, you know, awesome. I was really happy to see it, and I hope we see more of that. And I hope that if we do decide to do this again in the future, that more of the entrance and maybe the contest itself can be more geared towards, you know, tell a short story with a fight in it. And let's go that direction.
I've taught each year. It's like we kind of talk about okay, let's clarify: is this a choreography competition or is this a fight scene competition?
Right.
Because those are slightly two different things. Yeah. But I do want to say, I mean, we're talking about
things that are related to each other.
Yeah,
ultimately,
we're talking about things becoming more professional. I think that's true. I think there's really quickly, again, we've said it before when we went through them, but there is something to be said about the people who don't have a lot of experience, and
sure,
you know, they're looking at stuff. I mean, now, like Whiteley's and Nate's and stuff like that, next year they're going to be looking at their own stuff, and they're going to know that they can't get to that level because they haven't done it before. It's their first time or whatever.
But they're going to reach for that
There's
bar.
Still something to be said for being willing to enter, even if you're like, I know I'm not going to win, but at least I'm learning something and I'm creating and going to the next level.
Trey?
There's a learning curve that I think we all go through where, you know, sometimes you might look at a movie or you might look at these kind of movies and have that thought like, oh, I'm going to enter that next year. And then you make your movie and you compare it to some of those others and you go, why does mine not look like theirs?
Yeah.
You know, what?
Oh, that's kind of gross.
Yeah, it's like, what? What?
It's just the only context I've heard that in. Is,
oh, geez, stop it.
Well, I don't have any responsibility for whatever the hell you're thinking right now.
Yeah.
I'll go back to my thought. It's like,
lean back, T.
Yeah, lean back, T. Smoke your hookah. Take your dirty mind, out of here. Anyway, it's like, why does my film not look like theirs? Does that help you? And to be, you know, to analyze it and realize, you know, what are the differences and what, because you could, the thing that's nice about having it always be choreography is that it does level that playing field.
Yes.
I mean, you could easily win this competition by locking off a camera in a white room and doing the most amazing bit of choreography that anyone has ever seen. You'd have to be really good at choreography to do it, but it can be done by the rules of this competition.
Yeah.
But I think it's very important to also recognize that some of these are far more than just lightsaber choreography, that they're sometimes excellently well-made films or very funny films or very clever films or creative films or films that used the what they had and maximized it in a way and made something very fun out of it. So
well, and with that in mind, like one thing I just want to say kind of globally again, having everybody watch all of these now, a lot of people, a lot of the entrants are really, really well they have a lot of skill when it comes to the visual effects or maybe the lighting or and all these other things. With that in mind, if you take the time to learn how to do that stuff, if you take the time to research and spend time doing that, I would also recommend, if you want to continue doing these, take the time to maybe take a fencing class. Take the time to maybe really practice the physical aspect of it, because that will help inform your fight just as much as learning how to do a reflection on your lightsaber or any of these other sort of technical aspects. I would also encourage the physical as well. That would only benefit you not just for this, but also in the future for other projects you might want to do.
Cool.
Well, one other thing I was going to say is, like, earlier we were talking
Everyone's
about...
Everyone's like, let them vote!
Yeah, we promise we're about to vote. Just in general, we were saying for the entries, even if you think... Because I can imagine it would also be discouraging. You know, you see some of the quality of these entries, and then it's, you're like, oh, well, screw it. Why even?
There's really no weight class in this competition. Yeah. That's an issue.
Yeah, exactly. But again, like we were saying, the choreography really sort of distills that into the thing that we're evaluating, and so you should really take a stab at it. And the thing that I think is really good about having this contest every year is that even if you don't win, and even if you're like, well, whatever, it's not my best work because of whatever reasons, but as long as you put it in, at the very, very least, you're still, at least in this year, you're getting a bunch of people who are going to give you some real, honest, hopefully useful feedback on your fight. And so I would imagine it would be at least an educational experience for you to sort of have other people objectively, critique your thing and tell you where to improve. And I think that's a great function of this whole contest.
It's something that not everyone opts over this way, but I rarely show my stuff to my friends, not because I don't want them to ever see it, but because I know whatever they say is going to not really quite be true. It's like, right. What do you think? That really sucked. No friend will usually say that. And sometimes they'll just outright lie and go, no, I really liked it. Did you really like it? And it's like, well, do you want me to really tell you what I thought of it, or do you want me to not tell you? And people are just always kind of shy about that. I much prefer just like throwing it out in front of strangers and just like
see how
what they think. It's like, yeah, you guys want to watch my stuff if you want, then that's great. And I'll listen to your feedback. But if I ask you, what did you think of my thing? It's like, it's tainted. Your response is tainted. So if you want to, you make your lightsaber film and your mom likes it and your friends like it, that's great. I mean, that's what it's for. It's about having fun. It really is about, well, how does it fend for itself in the big scary world is right. How you find out if this is something you want to do. You have to toughen your hide, because you're going to get that no matter what. Christopher Nolan, he sucks. People say he sucks, and he probably feels that when it happens.
Sucks first.
Yeah,
lame and gay.
Okay.
It was all lame and gay.
All right, let's do it.
So here's how we scored these. Brian, Trey, Ryan, Michael, and Eddie are the judges, and they were all asked their top three, and they were on a scale of rate your first one with 15 points, second one with 10, third with 5 points. And then we took all those together and added them up, and whoever has the most points wins. So if there was, five guys who got third place on all of them, they might accumulate to more than what several guys saying
places.
One was it's an effective way to kind of judge the room's opinion of the movies.
And by the way, for those who I believe it's called preferential balloting.
Yeah.
And it's how the Oscars are the final Oscar selections are done as well.
Interesting.
When you have a large field, that is actually the best way of determining the overall vote.
You guys psyched?
Let's do this.
It'll take them 5 minutes.
The third place award goes to two films.
Gasp!
Ooh, gasp!
There was a tie.
It was a tie.
Math.
And I want to ask, as we go along, why these films? And obviously, the collective us is responsible for the vote. Why they are where they are? One of the tying third place films, Konstantin Razumov's,
the one we just watched.
That was my third place actually. Yeah.
Why is that? I mean, generally just speaking, it's the third best in the choreography. So there it is.
I mean, for me, the third best, it went third best for me. The reason why I has number three is that I felt like it was creative in the choreography. I felt like the choreography was performed well. Like I said, they got the they physically performed the most out of their choreography, and they knew how to do their choreography to a point that played to their strengths. And for me, that I really and as far as like a believable fight, there, you know, it was performed to where I believed the fight very much.
Tied for third place. Do Love the Dorks.
Boom.
Yay. Very well done.
Very cool.
Step up front to collect your... Oh,
well,
never mind that part.
Well, okay. Funny you mentioned that.
Funny about the up front thing.
So is this like the streamy? Should one of us run across the screen naked or something?
Yeah, Brian, you get right on that. Cool.
Okay. So before three is two.
Before three is two.
Before three is two.
Second
before,
place.
Before second, third, there's second place.
Second place will be awarded a prize.
You
will
my goodness.
You will have a Down in Front shirt of your choice. Go to downinfront.net and click on the shirt icon, and you'll see all the different shirts that we offer. It would probably help if you were a fan of the show.
Yeah. If you're not a fan of the show,
you can trade it in for $10.
A Birdemic hanger.
Then what the hell's your problem? A Birdemic hanger, yes.
That'll be in the show notes, I guess. I don't know.
Winner number two and winner number three, please contact me, and we'll sort out how your prizes are going to be delivered. downinfrontshow@gmail.com will be fine.
Is number two a tie as well?
Number two handily won number two all
there
by its lonesome. The winner is Jedi Pastor.
Yay! Very well done.
Very
again,
cool.
I think largely based on not how much choreography there was, but how intent and what it meant. Definitely.
Cool.
Short but sweet.
Sweet. I'm trying to find a thumbnail for this one, so it's cool.
Yes, don't blow the reveals. Yeah, so
yeah, okay, it's got to be cool on here. But, oh God, there's nothing cool.
No,
it's
the one with no cool moments in it. Yeah. That's the one who's
exactly.
The winner.
We don't know how
it
won.
It's weird. I think there's a rig in the voting somehow.
It was the 30 seconds of slate that got sent to us for some reason.
Oh, there we go.
There we go. Very nice. We got it.
Your lightsaber choreography competition 8 winner is Whiteley 79.
Yes,
yep.
Wonderful.
Well deserved.
Well played, Whiteley.
Pretty much unanimous, wasn't that one?
Yes.
Yeah, almost across the board.
Yeah. Four out of five
four
voted
five.
That for one.
Almost yeah. Entirely across the board, yeah. This one got number one.
There's really no such thing as pretty much unanimous. That's yeah. All. Yeah. It was the vast majority.
It's kind of unique.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay, Mike.
Way to go, Mike.
Only a Sith deals in absolute.
Now, yes. I want to go around the table. Before everyone goes home and does their whole thing, I want to go around the table real quick and award like a paper plate. Type thing where it's
okay.
Like who had, like achievement type stuff.
A paper plate with glitter and a ribbon on it.
Yeah. And it can go for people that won the real ones too. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention, Whiteley 79 just won two Saber Shop lightsabers with
yes,
carbon fiber
fantastic.
Blades.
Fantastic.
Made by Ryan Weber.
I'll be building that for you or those for you in the next couple of months and getting them to you before Christmas.
Yes. Yeah. And again, downinfrontshow@gmail.com or find me or Ryan and we'll sort that out.
By the way, you can email me directly, ryan_weber@yahoo.com or me@ryan-w.com. I'd be interested. I'm kind of curious what your sabers are that you're using here and for blades and stuff like that. I'm just out of my own selfish curiosity.
He'll PM us. Cool. And you can give your little special achievement award to one that won an award if you want to.
Okay.
I'm gonna throw it to – I love the visual effects in Nate's. I'm a big fan of that, especially the one with the brick and the cloud of smoke and all that stuff. I think that's what I like the most about any particular entry. You know, to the most extreme, I liked that. And also the in the same entry, his little where the lightsaber's kind of going out. I'm going to throw mine to that. Brian, what stood out to you as one of the really cool things in one of the entries?
What I still found one of the most engaging one was the one with Trey. The Trey one. just in terms of, again, I mean, it's hard to separate, but one of the stories that I found the most engaging just all the way through, the one that consistently held my attention and didn't overstay its welcome. At any point, I was like, oh, okay, this is kind of stretching out a bit. And a great little moment at the end, and it's important to have a nice little button on whatever you do, and that had a very good one. So,
Trey, what kind of stuck out to you?
Of this field, I
forgot about the blaster gun in DX6.
That's
going
to be mine.
There you go. Save it. Yeah. I'm going to say the one that kind of really surprised me, and we remarked on it at the time, but since other people are going to remark on other details that I'll agree with, just the moment of wow as I first watched Jedi Pastors. This is really, really interesting. And I want to see where this goes. And as I've admitted, I didn't get it the first time. I didn't even get it quite the second time. But I feel that was more my fault than the movie's fault.
Right.
But it was really something that just just grabbed my attention immediately and made me watch it. Like, where is this going? And what are they going to do with this idea? And what is this? And the exploration of it was so well done that it was something that just, I absolutely did not expect to see something that fascinating and well made in this competition. I didn't mean to cut the competition, short, but I was really.
It's
like,
just a badass movie.
Yeah, I did not expect to see such a beautifully crafted little piece of work as that in this competition.
Ryan, what's your little special achievement award?
I don't know.
I hated all of it.
It all sucks. I'll heap a little additional love onto Nate's entry, which I would have liked to award higher than three, but just evaluating it on the choreography, I had to put it where it is. Really great, well-polished film. Looks awesome. And, there's something also I like about seeing the same folks do entries over time and seeing, how Whiteley has evolved over the years to now. It's outstanding. And I'm a big fan of Alex versus Nate, and so I just sort of look forward to seeing what the same – oh, I want to see what they do this time kind of a thing. Right. And this is fun, a fun little chapter, and homaging forward to Alex versus Nate 2 and stuff. And this is cool because I'm like, great. I really want to see more of this. I want to see what you do next time. And, I just enjoy having these little, little saber fight sagas that we can look forward to. And, great, well-rounded entry. Looks awesome. Enjoyable to watch. Very much so.
Darkman?
I don't really have any specific, I agree with all the ones that you have said, so I don't have much to add. I guess I would, if anything, I would add on to yours. For Jeff Hibbert's, just in terms of, special mention for kind of personality. I really enjoyed the personality of that fight. The choreography and some of the shooting left something to be desired, but there was definitely a lot of energy and a lot of fun ideas to it that I definitely really enjoyed.
I love the
enjoyed.
Elevator gag.
Yeah, and made me and made it very fun to watch. So definitely honorable mention to that one.
I would love to see, to see them grow and be able to do those kind of gags, like the elevator gag, with more behind the special effects.
Absolutely.
You can actually see the saber go through the floor.
Absolutely.
And do the gag that way.
Right.
Hopefully,
yeah.
Hopefully they
can. Eddie Doty?
Our winners are winners for reasons. Whiteley, I was thoroughly impressed with all the choreography that you had in there, the progression, the storytelling. There was a lot of work, a lot of refinement, and very clear intent. So you're our winner for a reason. With that said, the one I want to kind of give special props to is DX Channel 6, I think. Yeah. Reason why, there's a lot of rough edges on that one, but I like where you're going. I want to see more of that. I want to see blasters and different kinds of sabers and progression. I would look at Whiteley's and incorporate sort of what you did with yours, and look at Whiteley's and sort of think about how you can progress from one move to another, how you can transition. I think in maybe 2-3 years, if DX is consistent with it, he'll have something really, really epic on his hands that's very creative that no one's
really
done before.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I am too. So.
Cool. Well, on that note, everybody, thank you very much. These have been your judges.
Thank you.
Brian Finifter, Trey Stokes, Hello. Ryan Weber, Dorkman Scott, Eddie Doty.
Hello.
I'm Team Christie. I was running the video mixer. And in Whiteley's intro, I would just like to point out, I was like, Lorther. I was trying to keep up with it. And, I only had a couple of flubs the entire 3-hour show. So that was not bad.
Yeah, well done, by the way.
We should take a moment
to
give props to Teague, who spent, what did you say, 40 hours trying to get this whole setup
If not more than that, yeah.
And it's a really amazing setup, and it went off without a hitch, which, given all the technical possibilities for major fuck ups,
everything
to happen,
in this could have gone wrong.
The fact it was
hard.
The fact that it went off without a hitch is amazing. So
again, one more time, as totally like short bus and pat on the head as it sounds, congratulations to everyone for getting something together and winning
and
doing it because it really was a good showing this year.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has sort of been Down in Front. You can find more episodes of our commentary podcast featuring all of these guys and more at downinfront.net. I think you'll like it. You can subscribe to us on iTunes to get a brand new episode every single week. We have a forum full of people of like-minded interests, and overlap is amazing. It's really cool. Check it out, downinfront.net/forum. And until next time, my name is T. Christie,
Ryan Finifter,
Trey Stokes,
Ryan Weber,
Mike Scott,
Eddie Doty.
And this has been Down in Front's judging of the LCC 8. Thank you very much for listening. Good day, good day.
Yeah.
So long, everybody.